The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, the 11th day of March, 2013. Daylight savings time is now in effect. And that doesn't affect many folks. You just kind of roll with it. But for those of us who happen to live in states where they don't do daylight savings time, like Arizona, it does make a difference for us. And you think, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Well, part of the year, a sliver, the markets open at 7:30 a.m. my time. But most of the year, when the rest of the nation is on daylight savings time, the markets open at 6:30 a.m. my time. That's right. We are officially here at the CFRN studios. We are now on Pacific time for the next 9 months or so. When they originally brought out daylight savings time, I think it was kind of split up 6 months each way or thereabouts. But they've kept extending and extending and extending, and pretty soon, I don't know, it'll just be a year-round kind of thing. All right, let's look at the markets. 1548.49 overhead, that's what we're looking at. That's weekly trading zone, potential for some resistance there. The market was very quiet this morning, pretty quiet overnight. Here's the Globex open. As you can see, we gapped a little lower on the Globex open last night, and then traded in a pretty tight range from like 42 up to 45, about a three-point range during the Globex session. Nothing to get excited about. And then at midnight, we gave it all back in 1 hour. These are hourly candles. And then we walked sideways for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. And then over the last 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, we've made our way, and this hour here being hour number 5, which is just underway now, in the last 6 minutes. 48.49 overhead, looking at that for some potential resistance. Here are the highs and lows of Friday. Put in a low down at 15.37 and a swing high up at 47.75. We are on the June contract. We've rolled everything forward, including the currencies. Nothing much like sitting down to do the weekly trading zones and getting them done and realizing that you're in the wrong month. So then you go, oh, man. So you turn around and you do them again for the right month. And then you move on to the next market and, yep, that's right. You do it again. But, hey, you know things happen, and so you get the indexes out of the way and you go to do the currencies and, well, do I even need to go on? Hopefully not. I think that says it all. So, quiet session, quiet movement, we're into the new contract, rollovers complete, daylight savings time, we've even rolled time forward, all right? And or backwards, however that works. Just a couple real quick headlines, and then we'll go straight into the recap. We had a good day in the live trading room, despite the fact that the market was a little bit quiet. Tony, I have no idea how you pronounce his last name. Let's call him Shu, because he sells shoes. It's H-S-I-E-H. I've heard it pronounced, but for the life of me at the moment, I can't remember. So what's my point? Well, he is the CEO of Zappos, which was bought by Amazon for $1.2 billion. And he recently purchased, as in last week, 100 Teslas. That's right, 100 Teslas. For the tech community, he's building in downtown Las Vegas. Shu is spending a large chunk of the fortune he got from Amazon by building a tech scene from scratch in Nevada. Now, we've talked about this at length on the show. He's created Vegas Tech Fund to invest in startups, provided they meet one condition. Now, here's the condition. You must be based in Las Vegas. A Vegas entrepreneur told us about Shu's flashy new purchase. Now, Shu isn't giving his Vegas founders the cars. Instead, what he's doing, he's creating a car-to-go or Zipcar-like rental service. Maybe you're familiar with this business model. If you aren't, Google it, and the next time you go to a major city, you might want to use it. The community will be able to rent and share the 100 Teslas instead of buying their own cars, so they don't have to worry about their own modes of transportation. See, when you live in a city, sometimes it just doesn't pay to own a car, because you don't really get around to driving it that often. So, imagine you don't want to have to spend the money to buy a car, much less a Tesla. But now, thanks to Tony, if you need a car, you got a Tesla. It's just right down on the street. And all you got to do is have the app on your phone and go beep, beep. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just have the app on your phone. You point your phone at the car. You push in a code, and it lets you in. You can drive it wherever you want around town, and then you get billed for it based on the mileage you drive. And when you're done, you just have to park it in one of the little authorized spots so that the next guy that needs to use a car can just step up and use it. Pretty cool idea, but no one in other cities, this has been done with compact-type cars. No one has attempted that I know of to do this business model with anything as flashy as a Tesla. Now, they say that Shu's also been eyeing Google's self-driving cars, but he can't get his hands on one yet. This is just one of the many perks Hsu is offering entrepreneurs that he lures to Vegas to build a great startup culture. Good Lord, it's almost enough to make me want to move to Vegas, but not quite. In Trade. Now, we've talked about that website a number of times on this radio program. In Trade was a place where you could go to place a trade or, well, let's be honest, a bet about just about anything. Is it going to rain tomorrow? Will the president be reelected? You name it. The site was very controversial. It was located in Ireland. They announced yesterday that all trading was being halted. The language they used was very ominous. It's unclear if there will ever be trading again. Now, the site was very popular among pundits and amateur fans of U.S. politics. It allowed people to place bets on various real-life event outcomes, such as would Obama win? Who would be the GOP nominee? Will the Supreme Court uphold Obamacare? When it came to dealing with U.S. users, the company was always operating in a clearly gray area of the law as it crossed the line into both futures trading and online gambling. Last year, it totally blocked U.S. users as it was sued by U.S. regulators. In fact, we had the site up on the screen just the other day. Michael, I'm going to transfer this call over to you, please.
Okay. Send it over.
All right. It's coming at you. All right. But all legal issues aside, the premise of the site was awesome, and its most vocal critics were wrong. We had it up. We were looking to see about this business about the Pope. You know, they're going to reelect the Pope this week, and we were looking at Entrade to see who the favorite was. Now, one vocal critic of Entrade was Barry Ritholtz, who, after the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of Obamacare, wrote, "Entrade blows it again." Well, here's the thing. The point of Entrade was never to be right about anything. The point of Entrade, which I really liked, was to create a market where popular thinking was quantified. In other words, you could go there to find out what the majority of people thought. Not because somebody, you know, was standing outside of a mall asking them questions as they left, but because people felt strongly enough about the issue to go to this website and make a trade or, well, okay, come on, a bet. About what they, so you could really get your finger on the pulse of what people thought about any kind of important subject, right? Nah, well, they're gone. In Barry's post, he lists a number of other times that Entrade blew it, but again, it wasn't about being right. It was about telling us what people thought, and now looks like it's gone. It'll come back. In a different name, a different country, somehow, some way. It was just too popular to be gone for good. All right. Now, this one should tick you off a little bit. The White House is now closed to the public. Yep. The president, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that he... How do you tick off the most people at one time? Well, close the White House. Now, how many high school kids from around this country and potentially other places in the world, have their spring trip, their high school class trip, scheduled, been planning it, you know, since they were freshmen, maybe, that in their senior year they would travel to Washington, D.C. and tour the White House. Well, the White House tours are now closed after decision by the Secret Service, you know, that it could not afford to maintain security. Now, the savings for shuttering the White House comes to, you ready for this, $2 million over the next 7 months. Now, I think this might be a move by the president to get the public a little hostile towards Republicans. If the visitors to D.C. who are disappointed in not being able to visit the White House actually knew the facts, they might be mad at somebody other than the Republicans. The Secret Service budget for 2013 is $1.67 billion. Yeah, B as in boy, billion. The $2 million savings from closing the White House to all those school kids and everybody else comes to 0.12% of the Secret Service budget. It's equal to 0.00005% of total spending. closing the White House doesn't seem to be the best way to save money. Some other places where the $2 million might have been gleaned from are the Information Technology Portfolio, where we'll spend $200 million this year. The Transformation Initiative. Now, you don't even know what that is, and neither do I, but we, the American people, are going to spend $50 million on it this year. Payments to states in lieu of coal fee receipts. I don't know what that means. $128 million. The Lower Colorado River and River Basin Development Fund. That actually sounds like something. $254 million. The Upper Colorado River Basin Fund. They got stiff. They only get $92 million. We're going to spend $1 billion on surveys, investigations, and research. We're going to spend $3 billion to operate the parks, and I'm all for the parks. U.S. attorneys are going to get almost $2 billion. What else we got in here that's crazy? Well, you know, I don't know if this is crazy or not, but the Pakistan Counterinsurgency Capability Fund. All right, $850 million. We're going to give Europe, Eurasia, and Central Asia a little assistance in some package for $631 million. The Corporation for Public Broadcast, which I like, $445 million. You know, and the list goes on. The problem with the sequester is that it's an approach to, well, all right, so the White House is closed. We're going to save $2 million bucks. And while we're saving money, let's save some wealthy money, wealthy people money. Billionaire hedge funder John Paulson, who bet against the subprime housing market, made a bunch of money, is reportedly weighing a move to Puerto Rico, to take advantage of a new tax law there. The new law makes it so that new residents pay no local or U.S. federal taxes on capital gains. On January the 17th, 2012, Puerto Rico enacted Act 22, also known as the Act to Promote the Transfer of Investors to Puerto Rico. According to the law, the basic premise of the act is to incentivize people who are not already residents of Puerto Rico to become residents. To incentivize them, the acts exempt these individuals who become residents from income tax on their interest and dividend income and certain long-term capital gains from the sale or exchange of securities. The idea behind the acts is that by having these individuals become residents, it will help Puerto Rico's economy through real estate investments and consumption of their local products and services. In order to qualify, you cannot have been a resident of Puerto Rico during the last 15 years. You also must become a resident before December 31st of 2035. Both U.S. and, you ready for this, non-U.S. residents are welcome to apply. So far, about 10 wealthy individuals, including some hedge fund managers, have taken advantage of this new law in Puerto Rico, according to Bloomberg. And that's it on headlines. I can't promise you that's all the news that is news, but it's all the news I'm going to give you today. If you're new to this radio program, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. If you're hearing the sound of my voice but don't see any charts, hey, I heard that guy say something about a chart. Where's the chart? Do this. Go to CFRN.net. On the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a red, white, and blue button. It says click here, click there. That'll take you to a page with a big green button that says watch live now. Do that. Follow the instructions. You'll be registered through the end of the month to come into the live trading room every day, or into the radio show every day, and look at the charts. Each day you'll get an email that says the show starts at noon. Click here when you're ready to join. Okay, you don't have to keep registering every day. Just do it once and you'll be good through the end of the month. And then the 1st of April you'll have to register again, and you'll be good for the entire month of April. Okay, that's how that works. I forgot to apologize for Friday. I mean, I feel as though I should apologize, even though it wasn't my fault. As the host of this radio program, I apologize. GoToWebinar, who hosts the charting portion of our program, they took a dive. Well, actually, they say it wasn't them. It was one of the major internet service providers somewhere in middle America, one of their servers blew up, and we were down. Well, we weren't down. We were up. In fact, we managed to pull off the show. You can go out and take a look at the blog. In fact, let's see. Where is it? Yeah, on the blog, there's a post that tells you all about what happened. It's called, well, we had our biggest week ever, and then the server blew up. Tells you what happened, but we managed to patch it together using the little tiny chat room on the website and a couple other things. We just managed to get on air. It wasn't a very good broadcast. There was a lot of echoes and an 8-second delay, but yeah, we managed to pull it off. But it did give me, you know, material to write a nice post, so go out and read that. While you're there, check out these charts. Last week, the highest weekly trading zone on the S&P was 1554. We got up to a high of 5350. We came within 2 ticks of the highest weekly trading zone. And on the Dow, we got up to 14, well, we closed right here at 14383, 7 points. I got that wrong. I called it 3 points. We were actually 7 points on the Dow from our highest weekly trading zone. We did spike above it, but as you always hear us say, even if we spike above or trade above the highest zone or the lowest zone, by the time business is done, finished for the week, we expect to be back inside of the zone. And that's just exactly what happened. Ran outside early on Friday, and then got right back inside and closed it out, 14,383. Okay. All right, Michael, that's it. I've gone longer than I planned to. It's all yours. Michael, every day, folks, if you're new, I show you some charts, go over some headlines, then Michael recaps everything we did in the live trading room, and then after that, we go talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach, and I do believe she'll be back with us again today while Michael's doing the recap. I'll check and see if she's going to be here or not. Michael, it's all yours.
Okay, let me just type in a little message here. Sound like I'm hitting the keys really hard.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, let me grab the charts.
Okey-doke.
We will go over our morning. All right.
Got him.
You should be looking
yep,
at...
Yep, I'm looking at your charts. Locked and loaded. Right. Got them.
All right. I moved the wrong thing. And I was all confused.
You need to lay down?
Yeah. A minute here, I think. All right. Here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2013. Let's go through the results of the live trading room this morning. We got our 2 points this morning. We got our 2 points this morning in 26 minutes. Took us 2 trades. We were at $110 a contract when we were done. That was the 2 points. We kept trading, as we usually do. And we ended up placing 9 trades this morning, and the results were plus 11 ticks on gold, plus 13 ticks on crude. Okay? So we were plus $240 a contract on 9 trades this morning. 9 trades, 240. So you guys can do the math. Let's see. So for the month, let's just go to the month total. So far for the month, I don't remember how many trades we had. I have to go back and listen to Friday's, but I think we had 13 trades on Friday, and if that is the case. For the month, we are up $2,372.50 per contract on 64 trades total, and that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, 7 trading days. All right, so we're up $2,300 in 7 trading days. We're on path to make a record month this month in the live trading room, but knocking on wood. We'll see how the month ends. All right. Let's get into the trades. Okay. I'm gonna move all the charts back where they normally are. Okay. Crude oil is usually the one that I start with because it's usually over on the left, so I'll do that. All right. On crude, we had, these were the trades that we had this morning on crude. All right. Our very first trade, this is the one that we made our 2 points on right here. Okay. We had a bullish cross right here. Oh, wait a minute. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. That's /apply and sign up for the free trial. Okay? At cfrn.net/apply. When you sign up for the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room. In the email that's sent to you when you sign up there, you know, there's a couple of steps you have to go through. You have to enter in a little bit of information, you know, your name and your email address, and click through a couple of links. And you'll be sent an email that has a link to a video in it. You got to watch the video. The video shows you how to download the charting platform, how to install our indicators, all those sorts of things. Okay? You need to do that. If you're going to sign up for the free trial with us, I mean, actually take the free trial, download the charting platform, download the indicators, get in the live trading rooms, do the whole thing. Okay? It's to benefit you, really. Anyway, in the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room. You get access to the charting platform and our indicators. You get to ask us whatever questions you want, and we will do our very best to get every question answered. If we can't get it answered in the live trading room, just send us an email at support@cfrn.net, and we'll get your question answered in an email. All right. I also give everybody that's on the free trial my phone number, so you can call me if you want. I'm happy to talk to you, go over details about whatever it is you want to talk about. Okay? All right, moving on to the trades. These were the trades that I took this morning. This was the first trade right here. Now, let me bring up my pictures. I'm going to show you the pictures like I do every day. And I'm going to show you once because they're the same across all the markets. Okay? This right here, step one, you look for the bullish cross of the MA1, which is a blue and red line, over the BBC, which is the green line. Look for that cross. Look for it to pull away, the price to pull away from the BBC. That means space between the green line and the price. Like we had right in here, right there, okay, and right there. Then you look for price to test the BBC. That means touch it, and then close in the direction of the cross. In this case, that would be an up close, just like this one over here, an up close. And then you look to make sure you have divergence between the green line and the cycle portion, and that the cycle portion is blue, all right? And right here we had bullish divergence, cycle portion was blue, so we jumped in the trade. We got in the trade and we trailed our stop up. Once we had some profit in the trade, we trailed our stop up. And we let it run up and we took 11 ticks profit on that first trade. Okay? Took 11 ticks profit on that first trade. The next opportunity was right here. Now, there are two types of trades that we take in the live trading room. All right? We're doing the same exact thing, the same set of indicators across all the charting platforms, around the same time frame across all the charting platforms. We're trading the same exact setup across all the charting platforms. I mean all the markets, every market that you look at. I'm going to show you a few different markets. We traded on two today, but there were opportunities on a bunch more. You know, there were no news events this morning, so I had figured that the first couple hours or the first hour or so was probably where we were going to have our action, and that is... That's exactly what we had. Okay. Let's see. I was going to bring up the other trade type. Now, I draw these black trend lines. You see these black trend lines? I manually draw those in as soon as I can when the markets are moving. You only need two bars to draw a trend line. Okay? So I draw them in as soon as I can, and then I adjust them if I need to. You can find out how to adjust them by signing up for the free trial and getting into the live trading room. Okay, it's really pretty straightforward, though. But there are two reasons. Let me put the whole picture up here. There are two reasons that the trend lines come into play. One is if there is so much momentum in the trade that price doesn't pull all the way back to the BBC, like we had right over here. Okay, there's so much momentum that price doesn't pull all the way back to the BBC. Then you draw a trend line up the bottoms, and you look for a down close below the trend line with the bearish divergence. That's one reason when it doesn't pull all the way back to the BBC. The other reason is if the cycle is the wrong color. Okay? And in this case, it had both of those. On the down close right there, the cycle was blue, and we didn't hit the BBC. So you wait for the down close, you get in there on the down close, and then you just let it go. Now, in this particular case, on the down close, I had moved my stop to break even. I locked in a little bit of profit on this one. I took a little profit, like 3 ticks profit, I think, on this. And it eventually went all the way down. But I had moved my stop down to plus a few ticks once it had some profit in it. Now, over here, it was the same exact thing, just on the long side. All right, I took a break even there, I took a break even there, and I took a little profit there. And this was my last trade of the morning, and it slipped me 1 tick on my stop. I brought my stop up to break even, and it slipped me 1 tick. So I ended up losing 1 tick on this trade right here. You can see that since then, since then there have been a couple of opportunities in here, but not much. You know, the market just, crude oil was one of the only ones that actually trended this morning, and I'll show you the bigger picture here in just a minute. This would have been the trend line. Then that would have been the trend line. And then you had no divergence. So there was no trade there. Now you come over here. And, oops. Let's see. This would have been your trend line. Now on the up close, there was still no divergence. So you have to go to the next one. Right there, there was some divergence. So you would have had an up close right there. Once you get 4 or 5 ticks in the trade, move stop to break even. I would have gotten stopped out on break even on that one probably. Maybe plus 1 tick or two. But that was it on the crude oil. Okay, we ended the crude this morning. Oops, I said I was going to show you the bigger picture. We ended the crude this morning plus 13 ticks. Okay, now crude this morning was trending. Was it crude or gold that was trending? I don't know. Well, either way, we ended crude this morning plus 13 ticks. Now I'm going to bring the Russell over. We didn't trade the Russell at all this morning. Okay. The same exact trade setups, same indicators, same everything, same time frame. There just wasn't any opportunity this morning. The ES was hugging the weekly trading zone all morning. When I get to the ES, I'll show you there was one trade opportunity this morning. Yes, Abby, I am recording this. I always record these. There's actually a couple years worth of them on the website. This was the Russell this morning. You can see these black horizontal lines right here are the weekly trading zone. So I wasn't trading with the Russell this morning. There were a couple of opportunities right in here. You had your cross, your test of the BBC, the down close, your bearish divergence, and down it went. Again, right here, test of the BBC, down close, bearish divergence, and down it went. Over here, you had your test of the BBC with a down close, but you needed to close below the trend line on this one because the cycle was blue, so the trend line was going up. There was no opportunity. It got up inside the weekly trading zone in here. I wasn't trading anything inside the weekly trading zone. And that was pretty much it. I drew this one at the end of the morning session. I drew this one in here. There was a possibility to get long here on this up close right here. And that ended up going up to here. Your entry would have been, 938.1. It drew down to 937.4. I use an 8-tick stop on every trade that I take. So this one right here would have had 7 ticks taken out of the risk. And then it moved up. All right. So from 0.1, it moved up to 39. It moved up 9 ticks. Okay. And that was the Russell this morning. Not really much going on there. You know, I'm going to end up cruising through the NQ, the ES. We didn't have a lot of trade opportunities this morning. And I sort of figured that was what was going to happen when I saw that we didn't have any news events. Now, this is gold. All right, these are the trades that we took on gold this morning. Our very first trade was right in here. Once we got the close down below the MA1, and we could move our stop to break even, we did. And we got stopped out at break even. Now, I want you to notice here, it's the same exact trade setup. Okay, the same exact thing. You look for your cross, you look for your space, you look for your pullback and test to the BBC. On the down close right here, we had blue on the cycle, so you needed to draw your trend line in. You needed to close down below the trend line. It was over here. Now, I didn't focus on this trade because the green line was almost into the cycle. When you get this kind of divergence between the green line and the cycle, you anticipate that the green line is going to turn down and move down into the cycle. That's what you expect. Okay? And in this case, it had already pretty much done it. So we didn't really look at that trade right there. We did look at this one. The same thing as this one, just a little farther down. And we took a short trade right in here. Once we could put our stop to break even, we did, and we got stopped out at break even. Okay, it ended up going down. Our entry on that, we were off on our entry by one tick. We were in at 77.7 on that. Okay, and it dropped down to 76.6 for an 11 tick gain from our entry. The better entry would have been 77.8, but regardless, we got break even on it. The next one was here, the bullish cross, the test of the BBC, the up close. Let's bring that picture back up just really quickly. Okay. Same exact thing. You can see this picture is crude oil from January. Well, it's not January crude, but it was crude oil from the beginning of the last contract that we traded. It was, you know, weeks ago, if not months ago. Anyway, the bullish cross, the space, pull back and test with an up close, pull back and test with an up close, and the bullish divergence. Okay, we got long in there, and I believe we took 9 ticks profit on that one. We missed this one. I think we took 10 ticks profit on this one. Okay, it was the same thing again. Test of the BBC with an up close, bullish divergence over here. I think we took 10 ticks profit on that one, and then we got long in here. I'm not sure if we should have even gotten long in there, now that I look at it. But we did. Oh yeah, we got long here. I'm sorry. On the up close right here on the Dragonfly Doji, we got long right there on the Dragonfly Doji, and it stopped us out for minus 8 ticks. Okay, so we lost 8 ticks there. We got 9 and 10 and minus 8, and that brings us to whatever our total was on the gold plus 11, and that was it. And it's gone pretty much flat since then. Okay, that was gold. Those are the two markets that we actually traded this morning, but I'll go over, I don't really want to go over the NQ because it was really choppy. I can show you right here, you know, at the end of the morning session, we had the bullish cross, tested the BBC with an up close right here, but we had red on the cycle, so you needed to close above the trend line. I skipped this section right here. You could have gotten long right there on the close above the trend line. Okay, the close above the trend line right there. It would have drawn down here, but then moved up, and you could have gotten long right here, too. Okay, if you missed that first one, there's your trend line for the second one. There's the up close above it. And that was the NQ in the afternoon. We didn't really look at the NQ all that much in the morning session because the ES was stuck at the weekly trading zone the whole time. So when the ES is stuck at a weekly trading zone, we don't like to trade the indexes. Okay, the stock indexes, we try to skip those. You can see right here, there was this one opportunity here at the open with the ES. You had to bullish cross, pull away from the BBC, a test with an up close, and it was coming out of the weekly trading zone. This black horizontal line right here is the weekly trading zone. It was coming out of the zone. All right, that was the entry opportunity, and you can see that thing lasted forever. There was another opportunity over here. Not a lot of divergence. It pulled back. This one pulled back 7 ticks, I think, and this one pulled back 7 ticks, I think, before it went all the way up here to the next zone. Okay? So there was opportunity there on the ES, just one of them, or two of them, really. One or two trades there on the ES, if that's what you wanted to trade. Okay? Soybeans. Let's look at the soybeans. Here, now when the soybeans opened up, there were two trades in a row that were losing on the soybeans, okay? And the soybeans, they didn't put in a higher swing. This one would have stopped you out pretty much to the tick and then moved up to the profit target up here, which would have been the swing eye. The next one just turned around completely. Then there was a winning trade here and a winning trade here and another trade right in here, but the green was almost down into the cycle. That's why I didn't highlight it. All right, then it changed directions. gave a bullish cross, and there was no opportunity at all in there when it changed directions. Let's see, right now. This is what you're looking at right now. So it's not a great opportunity right here. You know, the up close right here, you wouldn't need it to close. You still need to close up above the trend line. Okay, but there's not a ton of divergence, and there's not a lot of room for the green line to run up into the cycle. Let's see. That was the NQ, the ES, the gold, the Russell, the crude oil, the yen. We looked at the yen a little bit this morning. There was an opportunity right here on this down close on the yen. Okay, and the euro. We were looking on the euro for an opportunity, but it never showed up. I think we were looking in here. And by the time it happened, the black line was on the wrong side of the BBC. And that, my friends, was the live trading room this morning. All right? There was not all that much opportunity, and you know what? Tomorrow is probably going to be the same way, because we don't have much for news events until Wednesday. When Wednesday comes along, we should see a lot of action. And on crude oil, we have crude inventories coming out on Wednesday, so I know we're going to see action on crude. The gold, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, there's global stuff that's happening tomorrow, I believe, that could affect the gold and the crude for that matter. So, if you've not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. Okay, we are currently up. Let's go back there again. We are currently up $2,372.50 on the month on 64 trades. Okay, we've made our 2 points every day so far this month. As a matter of fact, our last down day was February 7th, I believe, right? Yeah, it was February 7th. Our only down day so far this year was February 7th. We had one break-even day, too. In February. That was February 27th. Right? Except for those 2 days, we made our 2 points every day. All right, that's it, guys. We're going to wrap up the recording right here, and we'll head out to Vegas.
All right.
Okay, on February 7th, I lost $80 a contract. $80 a contract. Okay. All right, stopping the recording. There we go.
Okay, there was a number of questions in the chat box while you were chatting, and I answered most of them via text. I guess Joseph P., I guess you can take care of sending him that link that he needs.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, I sent it to you a couple months ago. A
couple times.
I'll send it to you again. Just because,
A question about, is the recap recorded? And the answer to that is yes, the recap is recorded. And we're uploaded on the website, or we're current through. What day are we current through? On the website, guys, on the right-hand side of any page, you can see live trading room results. Just click that. It will take you... Oh, you can't see my charts.
Hang on, I'm showing you. Over here, on the right-hand side, it says live trading room results right here. Just click on that, and you will see years.
Going all the way back to August of 2011. So what day are we current through? March what?
Current month, March 4th.
Okay. All right, we'll get caught up through... so what was Friday's date?
The 8th.
Okay, so we'll get those couple days caught up, guys, and so that answers that question. Also, every radio program is turned into a podcast, which is available via iTunes. So if you're away from your computer, away from the office, a great way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Just go to the blog on our website, cfrn.net, and the blog, all you got to do,
here we go,
I'll show you.
I still have the charts.
I got them.
Oh, okay, you grabbed them. Okay.
Yeah. So when you get to the blog, just click on the navigation tab, which will take you to the index of the blog, and then view recent posts. That'll take you inside of the blog. Then at the bottom of every blog entry, you'll see right here, iTunes. Click that, and that will subscribe you to the podcast so that every day you automatically it's there. So if you miss a show, you can always tune in and hear what we had to say that was of great importance. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. You can zip through it. There was some other question that I was going to address, and I don't recall. Let me look and see. Oh, there was a question about the platform that we use. This is DT Pro, okay, from Daniel's Trading. We don't code our indicators to work with any of the other platforms, so you do need to use DT Pro. You can take a free trial, as Michael stated during the recap, cfrn.net/apply. Not only does that get you into the live trading room for 5 days so that you can actually watch us put these trades on live in real time, because you're watching it now and you go, oh, well, yeah, that's all well and fine. This is after the fact. He's saying all that stuff now. Yeah, but what really happened then? Oh, well, why don't you find out? Come take the free trial. Hang out with us for 5 days so you can actually see the trades in real time as they unfold. And along with hanging out in the live trading room for 5 days, you get to download the platform. In fact, I don't want to say you get to. We insist, because it's really important. You won't really comprehend the opportunity that is knocking on your door unless you download the platform, install the indicators, put on and take off trades in the simulator. There's another side to that coin, too. When Michael puts on and takes off the trades, it makes it look really, really, really simple. And it is, but there is a little more to it. And that's why you also want to download the platform, install the indicators, put on and take off trades. Because at the end of 5 days, you'll need to make a decision as to whether or not becoming a CFRN partner is right for you. And we want you to be able to make a well-informed decision. That's why just hanging out and watching us for 5 days, that's not good enough. Roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, get the platform going. This will give you opportunity to talk to Bert, talk to Leslie. There's going to be no hard sell, but you'll be amazed at how they can answer every question you have. If it has to do with trading e-mini futures and trading in general, why? Because they've been around the business for a really long time, and they are very, very good at what they do. In fact, when you initiate the free trial, if you need help getting things set up, toll free, they're standing by to help you. 866-928-3310. That number will be in the email you receive when you sign up for the free trial. So there you go. All right, Michael, does that cover everything? We ready to go to Vegas?
It does. Let's head out to Vegas.
All right, guys, don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back in two shakes with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And good morning, everyone.
And it's a great day from Las Vegas, home of NASCAR.
We could hear you, Robin.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Good to have you back, Robin. Hey, Robin, your mic's a little bit hot again.
Still? I just reduced it again.
Okay.
Still?
Yeah, notch it back just a tad.
Still more. Okay, hold on. I am so sorry.
Well, that's all right.
Is it, how's that?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. I don't know why. I'm using the other headset, and now this one, the other one doesn't work, and this one's too loud. Okay.
No, you sound great now. Well, boy, we had quite a party on Friday with the servers down, the GoToWebinar not going to
I heard that.
Anywhere.
Oh, my goodness. I heard that. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that everything was down, but you said you were up.
Well, we managed to patch it together, a little baling wire, some scotch tape, a wing and a prayer, and we got the word
That's
out.
That's what I like to hear. Resourceful.
So,
exactly.
David, did you have a nice weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, NASCAR is like nothing I've ever experienced before.
Yeah.
NASCAR was an exciting day. The first day, unfortunately, we had rain and it was cold. And it was miserable. And I went out into the stands. There was like three people in the whole stands. And they were going around when it was dry. And they have these amazing track dryers. These machines that literally blow hot air, move. They creep along the pavement. And they're lined up, about 10 vehicles lined up. And they blow the track until it dries. They go around and around, but they go so slow, and the noise is deafening. And then they got the track clear, and they had them going around, and it was pretty exciting watching them go around and finally getting on the track. But it was rainy. It was cold. So there were not very many people there at all, which is unfortunate. But then the second day was much better. We had sunshine. It was very exciting. People could go down to the pits, and they have on the other side of the track, they have all the RVs, the fronts of a bunch of RVs right at the top of the track. And I said to the guy, I said, how did those RVs, they're all on the top. And he says, oh, those are the best seats in the house. He says, those RVs pay $5,000 for that parking space to sit up elevated and look down into the track from the steering wheel of their RV. It's like amazing. And so they had these cars. You can hear I'm a little bit hoarse, and I'm a little bit from yelling out hot dogs, hamburgers, ketchup, cool beers here. And it was very exciting. Red Rocks numbers, on Friday we were number three out of all the vendors. We were the top three, our first event there. We were very excited. And on yesterday we think we came in first, but we don't know yet. So we think we came in first. We had an incredible team of people. If anybody's listening, and I told them that I would be talking about them. I'm totally grateful for everybody that was there. I was kind of a runner and the banker at the same time. It's amazing how organized they have this. I mean, all sorts of nonprofits have booths there, and they raise money for each of their charities. It's a fabulous event. And the people get all excited, and the people are friendly until they start getting a little rowdy towards the end. And the only unfortunate thing that happened to us, and I won't keep you bored on NASCAR, but the only thing that we had a challenge was at the end of the race, when everybody was finished, and you have all these fans, and I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 fans, I don't know how many to fill even the stadium. 5 minutes before the race ended, there was a fatal car accident on the major highway going out of NASCAR. Mm. And for 3 hours, people sat in traffic, and they couldn't get out. They couldn't get anywhere. They finally, I think, opened one of the roads through the Nellis Air Force Base, which is not normally open, just to move the traffic. It was so congested and so bad because they couldn't do anything till the accident was cleared and the detectives came and so on and so forth. And it was a mess. So we just parked in the parking lot, and we got out all our Red Rock search and rescue gear, and we had blankets, and we made a little 4-inch fire from our little survival cubes of making a fire. We had water and power bars, and we sat there and waited till the traffic ended. And so we sat there for 3 hours in the parking lot. So after working 48 hours, we had another 3 hours in the parking lot. So that was our day yesterday. So,
well,
but it was
like,
fabulous. It was
like
fabulous. It was a good weekend, and people worked very, very hard, and we worked like a fine oiled machine.
Well, good. David, that's a tough act to follow. How was your weekend?
Well, I wandered the streets aimlessly for the weekend, trying to pass myself off as a demigod to unsophisticated peoples.
How'd that work out?
No, I don't know how to pass
that up. But you do that every day.
I don't know how to pass that up. I really don't.
But that, you know, I just want to say publicly, Robin, you know, I know you give a lot of time and energy to this group, to the Red Rock Rescue, and it's, you know, you really are, that's a remarkable effort that you've given them, you know, to help these people that are out in the I was going to say the forest, but we live in a desert. And it's funny because you would think that people would know the dangers and people would be aware or sense danger, but many times they don't for any number of reasons. They don't sense the danger. They don't realize. One of the things that's really strange about the desert is that water becomes enormously dangerous on flat land.
Yeah.
And that's people don't understand that it just is dangerous. You can drown in 6 inches of water.
And that's what our concern was Friday. Here we were at the booth, and the rain came. You know, we're like, oh, no, now what do we do? You know, if the rain comes, everybody else better jump up, and because we had all the key people at the booth. And so, you know, half of the command post was sitting in NASCAR, and the rain came, and it was raining all day long. And we never get rain like this on the first day of NASCAR. And, I mean, when did you see that, David? We never had rain like that.
You don't. I had a it's an unfortunate story, but somebody that used to work for me many, many years ago died here in Las Vegas from rain. And you'd say, well, how does that – no, I wish I was. But she had been – she was – this is many years ago. This was back in the 80s, and the city back then had less – they had nothing. I mean, when it would rain back in the 80s, cars would just get stacked up in like Caesar's Palace parking lot. Yeah. One car would be stacked on top of another. Somehow that would happen. It looked like something out of Poltergeist.
Behind Harrah's there too. That's the whole parking lot would be,
The underpass at Charleston would fill up with water and cars would just be floating. Looked like toys, little Tonka toys just floating in there. Anyway, unfortunately, a woman had... tried to drive through what appeared to be relatively low water, and I guess it was relatively low water. I wasn't really clear on exactly how she got into this position, but somehow her car got stuck in what might be considered 2 feet of water. Really not that much. 2 feet of water is where her car got stuck, and she attempted to get out of the car and was sucked by the water, believe it or not, out of the car and her car, and she drove.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in Henderson, Nevada. So, you know, you just have to you have to realize that water is dangerous. It's dangerous even in your car, and that we have all these signs, these billboards out here in Las Vegas that say don't try to drive your car through water, you know, avoid it. Obviously, certain vehicles are designed for it more than others, but... if you don't make it, you're in a very dangerous position, much more dangerous than people understand. And that also includes out in the desert, because out in the desert, you say, well, what can happen to me out here? There's just, you know, a million miles of flat land. Well, ask Robin what happens to people out there.
You know? And even, you know, you said, you know, we don't have any trees, but our greatest rescue, which when we found a woman, was in Mount Charleston. So we go into the forest.
Right.
No, there are trees here, but
there are.
They're farther away.
Well, anyway, you see it all, and that's I just my hat's off to you for that. That's a lot enormous amount of work.
It's a great organization, and they're a great bunch of people. It's not just me. It takes a team to do it, and I'm very proud to be part of that team because it's a very, very special team. We were even fortunate enough to get toured by Las Vegas Metro, gave us a tour of their helicopter search and rescue team, and that was amazing. It gives me such an appreciation for Las Vegas Metro. It's amazing. They have these helicopters that can pinpoint people, and they have one light on one helicopter that's so intense. I forget how many candle lights it is, but it's so intense they can't even put it on in the hangar because it would melt the floor. It's that intense. And they can beam down on anybody down on the, you know, going running through the streets from high up with this spotlight that's just incredibly intense. And they have to put something like 5,000 hours into the air to even be able to rescue in Red Rock Canyon And to get a 5,000 hours in the air, they have to do years and years and years and years of hours of rescue. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the force that they have there, obviously they don't want turnover. And the team is just amazing. So the respect I have for these guys and the more I learn about search and rescue is phenomenal of what we have here in Las Vegas. And we're very fortunate. They're a great group of guys, for the police department and the rescue and the fire.
Well, Robin, people might want to ask you, what got you into that? Why? How did you wake up and say, you know, this is something I would really like to do?
Well, you know, it's funny. My mom passed to cancer, and I took care of her for quite a while. And when she was gone, I really had nothing. And I shouldn't say I didn't have anything. I certainly had things around me, and I had a few friends. But my whole life, the last 7 years, was really being with my mom. I hadn't lived near her during that time. I was always on my own, but I had a circle of friends on the East Coast. So when I came to Vegas, I really didn't have a lot of friends here. And so when I moved her here, it was just me, mom, and work. And when she passed, I was really, really lost. And I don't even remember 2011, to be honest.
Well, I remember meeting you shortly after that.
Yeah, it was right after that. And then March came, and they had lost a guy in Red Rock. A hiker had gone missing, and the family had been searching. And then Las Vegas Metro stopped searching because after a certain time, it's no longer a rescue. It's just, you know, we're just going to see what we can find because we know that it's just – they know that they're not alive. Mm-hmm. And so they stopped looking. So there was a group of – a contingency of volunteers that were helping at the time, and they said, you know, Vegas really doesn't have a continuation force of people that continue looking for these missing bodies. And evidently there's bunches of bodies that have been missing for years that nobody's gone and continued searches on. Mm-hmm. So the group formed together, and they had a couple guys that were in search and rescue, I guess, from other states that have moved to Vegas. And they said, oh, well, why don't we start one? So they put a advertisement on the television for volunteers to come out for search and rescue, and, you know, we're going to look for this missing hiker that he had still not been found yet. And so I said, I'm going to go do that. That'll get me hiking. It'll get me meeting people. It'll get me learning something totally different from what I had been doing. It'll get me outdoors. I needed to be outdoors more. And so it filled the void for me. So, and the most important thing I think it gave me was purpose. I had missed my purpose. My purpose was my mom. And so, you know, from a psychology perspective, I kept saying, what am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing? And I realized I was missing purpose. You know, my traders were always my purpose, and helping people were always my purpose, but I needed something more. I needed something else different that I had never been doing before. I was a little burnt out mentally because I had been taking care of mom and the doctors and all that stuff through dealing with cancer. So I needed to recharge, and I needed to get back. You know, I believe if you want to recharge, you get back to the earth. You know, so hiking and getting back out there was one of the best things I could have done. Health-wise, it's made me healthier. I feel great. I've met an amazing, amazing group of people, and we're doing something good. We're filling a void in Vegas that existed before. And so now, and they found that hiker. It turned out he was and I think I told the story way, way back when I first started on the radio. He was a minimalist hiker, which means they don't carry a lot of gear. And those are the guys, and he was very experienced. And here was a guy, very experienced, went into Red Rock Canyon, and he fell off a 500-foot ledge. And it can get really windy up there. You can literally have a wind gust blow you off a ledge. Uh-huh. And if you're, you know, really in shape, you don't weigh a whole lot, and that wind gust up there, you can literally get knocked off a ledge. So who knows what happened, but they found him down a ravine that supposedly people had searched already, but they hadn't. We did not find him. Another hiker found him. And then, but then nevertheless, he was found. So Red Rock Search and Rescue always has images on their logo and stuff from Ron Kirk, who was really the inspiration for forming Red Rock Search and Rescue. And so here we are. And so we've done, I think, 10 major searches, but we've pounded, when I say ground pounding, which just means that we literally get in the desert, we're in an area where we pound the ground and we just walk probably close to 5,000 miles, not 10, 5,000 miles we've did last year of ground pounding. You know, sometimes in the night, sometimes in the day, sometimes in the heat of 110 degrees. And we search for, we're still looking for Keith Goldberg. We are now, interestingly enough, we have, we're working with the senator from Nevada, and we may actually get a major law changed so that we can search areas that we are not allowed to search today. So we may make a major change U.S.-wide on a bill that they're looking to propose, and that's literally just starting. So that's awesome. We're making a huge difference. And so everybody can make a difference. You know, everybody can make a difference. And it may not be Red Rock Search and Rescue. That may not be your thing. But, you know, you really should give back. I don't care if it's 2 hours, 3 hours. You will feel like $1 million. And as exhausted as I am right now and as bad as my voice sounds right now, I have to tell you, I feel terrific. I feel really, really great, and I could conquer the world.
That's great. The stuff you said about purpose, I mean, that reminds me, at one point I wanted to work at SeaWorld because I wanted more purpose in my life.
You mentioned those purposes. That's the sushi thing, is it? No, it's not the sushi thing.
Congratulations on that. That's a very wonderful thing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know you. I've seen it for myself. So, yeah. Well, Dwayne, I don't have anything to match with Robin. Robin is Superwoman here, so, you know.
But I do, at some point in time, I do want to talk about Zynga at some point in time today.
Well,
you guys take over.
Okay.
Because my voice is kind of shot, but I definitely want to talk about Zynga today.
All right.
Well, Dwayne, if you want to get started, we can jump right in to the market. So, or any news or anything of interest that you'd like to cover? That you may not have already?
The CEO of Zappos is buying
or
bought 100
Teslas. Well, that's all right. I'll just start with the S&P, and we'll get take a look at where we are.
Tony Hsu, the CEO of Zappos, bought 100 Teslas, which will be used to – it'll be like a zip car kind of a thing. They're in Vegas. It'll be open to the public, not just people who are involved in his tech startup. But, you know, that Zipcar business model has worked well in a number of cities, but all the other cities that have rolled that out, they've used compact cars, economy cars. No one has done it with a higher-end car yet.
Right.
So this will be – and this really, I mean, when you think about it, I don't know what they're going to charge per hour, but – to have the option of not having to own a car, but knowing that there's a car right outside the door. You know, if you live in or work near that area, I guess it's the Fremont District they call it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if you work or live in that area, you know, you don't have to buy a car. You don't have to worry about the maintenance, the upkeep, the insurance, the depreciation, any of those things. Just if you need a car, you'll walk outside, you get in one as if you owned it, because it's almost that seamless of a transaction. You know, you log in with your cell phone, the thing unlocks, you get in, you go take care of your business, you come back, you drop it off in one of the proper spots, and you get billed for it. You know, you've got a credit card on file. And so, yeah, I mean, that really...
That is awesome.
This could put a dent in the automotive industry as far as sales go. I mean, obviously this won't roll out and play out in rural areas and that type of thing, but in major – and you don't typically think of Vegas as a major metropolitan area, but because of what he's doing with his tech startup venture fund, Vegas is getting on the map now for something other than the Strip. And so – if this works well in Vegas, then you can bet people are going to roll it out in Frisco and New York City, places where local commerce will support those higher-end cars. So this is very interesting. This is a very bright
guy. That's beautiful. Yeah, it's very beautiful. There's some other companies that are doing somewhat similar things already in San Francisco, and I can't think of the name of the company, but some other areas as well where you – get to just walk up to a car like that. You've got some special way you get in it and you zip off and take care of your business and zip back.
Right.
And it does in some ways.
It's called Zip Car, but they're using the lower end compact type cars. No one done it yet. You know, it's very successful in the cities they've done it in, but no one has done it yet using an upper end luxury type of car.
Right. Well, people like myself would like to get into an upper end luxury car, especially if it's electric.
Thank you.
But you know, the cost of that might it'd be interesting to see what the
Well, they're going to advertise that larger cost. It's going to be more expensive to be in a obviously $75,000 car or whatever.
He's not doing the gas. It's going to be cheaper.
Yeah,
it might be cheaper.
Yeah, I just want to also, before we get to the markets, I just want to say something. Since we are talking about cars, a subject that I'm somewhat vulnerable to, we talked about regenerative braking, which is something that's in electric cars, and one of the maintenance items that you always have to take care of on your car is your brakes, and how regenerative braking limits dramatically the amount of brake pad wear that you get. And that there's another type of regenerative braking that is in electric cars, which it's also in the Chevy Volt, where you can pull your little shifter into regen. And when you're basically driving the car with one foot. You don't have to really put your foot on the brake almost at any time, because as you lift your foot off the throttle, the regen generator kicks right in very seamlessly. You don't feel it, except that it starts to slow your car down. So you're literally driving the car with one foot. Your throttle acts as the forward momentum, and then as soon as you want to slow down, you just ease up on it, and the generator kicks in, and it slows the car down a lot faster. Well, people that are driving these Teslas that way, they're estimating that they're not going to have to replace their brake pads until 100,000 miles. Because the vast majority of all the braking is taking place through regenerative braking, which means that it's charging your battery as you're driving. The force that you are using to brake the car gets turned into a generator, is actually a thing that converts motion into electricity. And so
I got to ask a question. Okay, regenerative braking.
Right.
Just tell me exactly what that is.
It simply means that your car is in motion.
Right.
And you have kinetic energy. You have motion going on. And then when you apply the brakes, normally that motion gets wasted in the form of heat, but your car slows down.
Right.
In regenerative braking, you're using a generator. Your car automatically hooks up to a generator. It's inside your car. Uh-huh. So that when you want to slow down, that generator starts to turn. And the load that generator puts on your momentum, it slows your car down, and it's using that kinetic energy to turn the generator, which in turn makes electricity for your battery. So
it's when you're lifting your foot off the pedal that starts to kick in?
Yeah, you can select in the car that you want it to do that, or you can drive it so that it coasts and you can use your brakes. But even when you use your brakes, the generator turns on. And like I've got my Chevy Volt has 18,000 miles on it, and the brakes look new. They don't even look like they've hardly been used because you don't use any brake. Unless it's an emergency situation where you really have to use the pads, 90%+, if not more, of all your braking is done through the generator kicking in and pulling your car down. So you'd have to experience it, which, you know, if you show up at sushi sometime, I'll zip you around the block.
Okay.
You can, see.
I didn't realize that. That's really good. But they're putting in regular cars too, this concept, or no?
No. It's going to be in hybrids. Hybrids will use it, but regular gasoline cars don't yet. So anyway, listen, you know, for people who have the interest in electric cars, there's certain downsides to electric cars. Pure electrics, you only have so much range, you have to charge it, you know, and so on. You have to be a little bit more involved with your car than you might want to be. But I just adore it and love it. The driving experience is through the roof. That's what made Elon Musk do Tesla, is that he was so impressed with how smooth and amazing the driving experience was. He put it into a luxury car, and I told you from the very beginning, his company, of many of these companies that have tried and will fail, his company is going to be successful, I believed, and for a number of reasons. You know, that'll be very interesting to see the Zip Car, like you were saying, Dwayne, with these higher-end cars. And people will, in small, congested cities, it would make beautiful sense to be able to have that available to you. no parking fees and all the other stuff that you have to pay and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to do really, really well.
Yeah.
I really do.
One thing I would, last little thing I'd like to say, and I know people just couldn't care less, but, you know, I'll just have to say it anyway. Tesla and Toyota got together in kind of a marriage at one point, because Tesla and Toyota do business together now, but they got together and they decided to do a RAV4 SUV, an EV, an electric vehicle RAV4. And they're only making 2,600 of them. I'm mentioning this partially because I love electric cars, but also because if you want to drive something for absolutely free, these 2,600 vehicles will never sell for less than what they're selling for brand new. They will always sell for this price or more, because it's an extremely rare event that a huge manufacturer like Toyota gets together with a startup like Tesla,
yep,
puts a deal together like this. These cars are going to stand the test of time. I want one of these. I haven't ordered one yet or anything, but I really do want one, because I know that no matter how many miles you put on it, it's going to be worth what you paid for it. And the same thing is true for a RAV4 first-generation EV that they came out with in 1998 to 2000. They were using nickel hydride batteries or whatever. And those cars, if the rare time that you see them for sale, they sell for more than what they sold for new. So for those of you who are looking for sort of something that doesn't depreciate, and you want to drive a vehicle that gets over 100 miles per charge on electric, and you can make that work for you, check out the RAV4 EV. You'll pay a little more for it. There's about between, let me just give you the rundown real quick. It's $49,000. It's an expensive vehicle. It'll go over, you can get up to about 120 miles of range on it. You're going to get a $7,500 tax credit. If you live in California, you're going to get a $2,500 tax credit. Plus, Toyota is giving an additional, believe it or not, $10,000 off of it. So you take that $49,000 price, basically call it $50,000, subtract your $7,500 you know, off the federal tax. That's off your bottom line. Subtract $2,500 for California and subtract $10,000 that Toyota is giving you. It's a $30,000 car. How can you not do that? I don't live in California, so you're not going to get the $2,500, but that's pretty interesting. So check that out.
My brother buy it for me.
That's right. Get other people to buy your cars for you. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you'd like, let's move on to I would love to be able to say that I love the EVs because they're clean and they don't pollute, and that's not why I loved it. I loved it because of the way they drive, and now I'm starting to appreciate the fact that they don't, you know, pollute as much and so on. So you kids are going to love it. All right, let's move on. We'll get over to the markets, unless you have anything else, Dwayne.
No, let's go.
Okay. Well, real quick, S&P, we don't have a lot to add to this. How many times have we talked about the S&P? Don't try to call a top in it. It's a runaway market. Indicators are not going to, the normal longer-term types of indicators that would say this is a top, so on. They're going to fail until the top is in. We think that it's very likely that we're going to, in the June contract, this isn't an outright forecast, but I think it's very likely we're going to test the 1553-55 level that we originally talked about as being the next important target above 1538 to 40. The next target was 53 to 55, and I believe that they're going to go test that either today or tomorrow in the June contract. It's not really a forecast, but I think that's likely they're going to go do that. We've messaged that out early this morning as well. So the fact is that we are still in a runaway market. The Dow Jones, you know, recently made to all-time new highs. You don't really hear a lot about that, but that's a really pretty big deal that the market has been able to do that. The old all-time high in the Dow was 14,019.81. You know, we're trading right now at 14,430. I mean, we're above it. We've completely taken it out. So it's a pretty remarkable move up, and I think the S&P is going to try, if not, I mean, we're talking about close-by targets here, but for the bigger picture, S&P is probably going to make its best attempt to continue higher. We've been giving everybody, including on the radio program, we've been saying buy pullbacks, this is what we're doing as well. We think that the better trade, even though it's unbelievable and it's hard to follow and understand why the market would go higher, I think the better trades, obviously, are still to be on the long side, and I would suggest that you use your best methodology to find places to buy the market and stay with it, because it is a runaway market. You won't see this every day, and at least you can tell your grandkids, I was in the runaway market of 2013, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're telling them stories.
Yeah. So that's what you could tell them.
Anyway, so that's basically it. I wish I had more to tell you. I think that the shortest term thing I have is I believe they're going to go do 53-54 in the June contract, and I think that's kind of in the cards, you know, and including higher prices likely as well. So
here's the Dow right there, and we're putting in higher highs. That shot was clicked last week. The S&P is still, this morning, the S&P was about 17, 18 points off of its all-time high, and we're up a couple points higher now than we were then, so we're certainly within striking distance. So,
you're talking about the cash market or the futures?
Cash market.
What do you? Oh, cash market, okay. Yeah, we're roughly 33 points or something like that. We got a ways to go yet on the futures to get above its all-time high yet, but we're not far. We ain't
far.
Cash
market's around 15 or so.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's, you know, here we are. This is the part where the runaway section happens. The market's just going to leap towards these targets, and it would be foolish to short it, and I think people should not try to do that, and don't try to be a hero, and, well, I want to be able to say I shorted it at a number. I mean, that's meaningless, right? You know, we're not trading for that. We're trading for the idea that, you know, we have a high-probability trade-up. The high probability is on the long side, and especially with the Dow breaking to new highs and so on. So continue to trade that way. And if you want, Dwayne, we'll move over to the gold, and let's run through these real quick and see what we have going here.
Okay.
Here. Last week we talked about March 11th being important for a bottom in gold, and we're dealing now with the April gold contract. So if you're looking at this, I'm of the belief that that March 11th likely occurred one trading day early, meaning that the bottom was put in on Friday one trading day early. That isn't an absolute, but I tend to believe that. So, you know, a person could start to look on the long side here. We're in the on-time day now, and I believe that this could end up being a very important rally that gold has off of these levels, as long as we continue to close, you know, worst case on the daily, maybe above 1564, worst case 1554, daily continues to close above that, I think you're looking at a sizable advance. This is really, I think, a very important juncture in gold, because what they did on Friday was kind of a flush out on the downside.
You know, on Friday, if that low, are you looking at the screen there, or my screen?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, anyway, if we could have taken out this low that was put in back on February 21st, if we could have just ticked a couple ticks below that, I would have really, I agree with you. This is just from my perspective, not from the reflected wave perspective, but
sure,
with this tail and, you know, the small body on this candle and the fact that we've been sideways and kind of basing here. I mean, it all looks good to go on the upside, but in a perfect world, if this tail had ran down just a little bit below the low of this candle on the 21st, that would have been the perfect scenario. And so since we don't have that, we now have this.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I think there's a critical juncture here. For those of you who, you know, there's a mini gold contract if you want to take advantage of that. You will have to use a larger stop than normal if you're going to try to trade the longer term move. But I think there you ought to consider that. And check with Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading. His phone number, I'll give it out real quick, 866-928-3310. Bert will be very happy to discuss margins with you, and get you into you know, a firm understanding of what's required to hold these positions. But I think we could see a very, very good advance off of this type of activity that we're seeing right now. So if you want to be, if you're like me, where I often will wait for more confirmation and get in later but get, you know, less of the gain, but I have more certainty, that's fine. You can also simply be more aggressive and use a stop below some of the levels that we're talking about here. So that's something you might want to consider. What do you got going there, Dwayne?
While we're on the subject of BERT, I thought I had put it in that blog post, but I must have put it in. Yeah, as I mentioned in the last post, my greatest concern is that you take the necessary steps to safeguard your retirement and 401k accounts. It is possible to protect against the downside while remaining available to the upside. You need a professional to guide you. Call Bert Schlichter, 866-928-3310, for a no-obligation conversation regarding your own personal situation. So, guys, his number, his email address, it's on the blog. I talked because I'm looking at this here, which, man, this volume, I'll go to that chart in a minute, but David, I think we, well, let me bring up a better chart, but it's in the previous, here we go. Here is the S&P, okay, this is that triple top, and look at this volume profile, look at that. So that led me to put this in, here we go, this is a post I was looking for. Based on the chart above, I want to encourage you to call Bert Schlichter if you've got a retirement account or a 401k. If a major sell-off is coming, and I'm not saying there is, but if there is, you want to protect yourself on the downside. So whether you move to cash or take other protective measures, Bert is well-versed in all of this, and he's licensed to give you, as an individual, specific advice. And if you're a part of this radio audience, all you got to just call him up, say, hey, Bert, I heard him talking about you on the radio show. He'll be more than happy. Even if you're not a client, I mean, of course he would love you to be a client, and he will try to help you just to show you how hard he's willing to work to earn your business. You know, he'll talk with you, all right? So call him. If you're sitting with a 401k retirement, you know, just on the off chance that the sky might be falling, you know, don't you want to know what your options are to protect yourself on the downside? Now, this doesn't affect our ability to take a couple points out of the market every day. I mean, there'll still be day trades. David will still have trades on Messenger Pro. We'll still have trades. You know, whatever that's one of the beautiful things about trading futures. If the river's flowing uphill, we're good. If it's flowing downhill, we're good. But I'm talking about the big picture stuff. Because you remember back in 07 first 2000 and then in 07, you heard people talking about how their whole retirement thing got wiped out. Right? See, that doesn't have to happen. You're not at the mercy of the market. Only if you choose to be. You can take proactive steps to not be a casualty. So David already said it, and I really want to kind of hammer it home because, you know, a phone call away could give you some incredible peace of mind. So
yeah, I mean, do yourself a favor and speak to, you know, get somebody who can help you if you're at the point where you need some help, you know, with regard to margins or setting stuff up and protecting yourself, all these things. Especially the thing regarding your IRA and those kinds of things, you do need a professional that, like Dwayne said, can give you advice, because we can't, because we're not licensed to do that. And it's a very good reason they give licenses out. People have to pass all kinds of tests. There's all kinds of things people have to do to be licensed to help you financially in that way. And it's perfectly legitimate that they do that. So you want to be talking to somebody that has that license, and Bert does. Okay, so with regard to gold, I don't think, unless there's any questions, March 11th remains very important to us, and we believe that, you know, we're very close to having a position on we have a longer-term position on, but we're very close to doing something with this here. So keep in mind the gold. I think that's a really neat little setup that's happening there. Okay, so let's move on from there. If there's no questions about gold, beautiful market, wonderful market. You know, I just can't say enough about how happy I am that the gold market is here. Big market, big swings, very good. Okay, so we'll move on. The Treasury bond market. We talked last week also on the radio program about the next important daily bottom due in that market also.
David, are you in June on the bonds?
Yes, we are. We're definitely in June on the bonds.
All right.
And having said that, the bond market had a pretty profound sell-off here. They were not able to close below some important levels, but if we're now in the one day late, for those of you with reflected wave, you know that the March 11th is actually one day late for the bond market on the downside. And what we would like to see, I think I would leave this be until a little later into tomorrow, perhaps, but I'd like to see them close today above, this isn't a forecast for them to close above this, but I would like to see it, which would be 140.22. If they close above that, I would feel somewhat encouraged to get started on a long side position. Worst case, if they close above 140.13, I would still feel pretty good about that, considering where we are in the cycle. In other words, that we're one day late for it, in this particular case, for bonds. So keep that in mind. I like this. I like the setup here for bonds. So the long side. We have some larger forecasts for that, but I'm going to save that. That's actually for subscribers and so on. If you do want to take a trial and listen to what – it might be interesting for you. You might actually find this interesting. There's a number of professionals that either trade hedge funds or their CTAs and with millions and millions of dollars under management, and they want to figure out the best way to manage the side of their portfolio that has to do with futures or options. And it might be very interesting for you to hear what they say, how they think, where they're going, what information they want. And you can take a trial of it if you'd like to do that, just to sit in and see what goes on with these guys who are putting positions on that are worth millions of dollars. I mean, it's a whole different realm. It's the same thing as buying one contract, but they're doing it in huge size. And so that might be interesting for you. You might want to check that out. If you have an interest, you can call us toll-free to listen in on these meetings, which is our phone number, 888-231-4702, PageTrader, and ask to be in that meeting and see if that's something of interest to you. Maybe you can even get a trade or something out of there. But we do have a longer-term forecast for this. I am concerned about the bonds in the sense that I'd love to see – you know, the interest rates stay low and people be able to get things at 0% on this and that and very low interest rates on housing and all that. But it is going to go away, and the housing is already moving away, the higher prices, as we've talked about so many times. But I'd sure like to see people take advantage of the really cheap interest rate. And then when it's all over, I'm also going to feel good because I really know that that's going to help the economy. Putting aside the government and everything else, higher interest rates are actually going to help our economy tremendously, I think. Not substantially higher, but higher interest rates for sure than where we are. So we want to try to take advantage of them, lock in whatever deal you have as soon as you can before they start really ratcheting up again. Because you won't see those kinds of low interest rates for decades again. It really, the cycle is very, very long. So let's see. For the euro, I don't have a lot to add except to tell you that I think we're bullish. We are calling for a March bottom, as you know, in the euro. Won't add anything to that, but we do have some longer-term forecasts for this as well. I will give you one number that we'd like to see closed above, which is 129.60 in the month of March, and closed above in the weekly areas as well. So keep an eye on that. But we do have some targets on the upside that are important that, again, in this case, I'll save them for the product itself, the subscribers. But at least you have the direction. I also believe that, if I'm not mistaken, March 11th was the on-time bottom in the euro as well. I believe that came one day early as well. So,
now, did you roll forward to June on the euro?
Let's see. Yes, these are June setups.
Okay.
Yeah, June is the euro now. So let's see. A couple other markets that we'll take a look at. we had talked last week about our crude position. You know, crude oil has been in a big decline. This decline would normally go down about $10,000 per contract, 10 points from the January top, which it has done. It's missed it by about $600 per contract. It's gone down about $9,400, something like that. per contract, and part of the roadmap, which is a forecast, was for it to have a bounce off of that point before having further decline, and that that bounce would top on March 8th. We gave that date out early last week, that this bounce should top out on March 8th. Friday, the crude oil market made a top on March 8th, and today they've sold off. They're not selling off viciously, but they are down off of the high of 92.03, basis the April contract. They're trading right now at 91.33, and we've been as low as 90.89 this morning. The reason this is important, though, is because this whole pause that's happening right now in the crude oil market, the market has a chance now to show us whether it's still weak, whether it's acting normally, because this bounce is really a part of a larger forecast. So how they handle this and how they handle the March 8th and so on is going to be very important to us. You can get the full roadmap for this by coming to pagetrader.com, taking a free trial of Messenger Pro, and you can see the full forecast for the crude oil market. But keep that in mind. At least you have the March 8th date, which is it's already passed, but you do know what we're looking for, that to mark a top off of this bounce. So we'll see how the thing plays out. So far, so good. Okay, so let's see. We'll run over. There's a couple other markets I wanted to talk about, Dwayne.
Okay.
One or two of them. You know, the dollar is pretty much the opposite. I don't have a lot to add on the dollar. It's kind of the opposite of the euro. And so we think the euro is putting in a bottom in March, and therefore pretty much you can think along those lines for the dollar putting in a top. And we'll see where the dollar,
how the sell-off.
What month
are you in with the dollar?
Well, I'm showing still March on mine, but we're going to flip over to June. I think June is the place to be if you're going to be trading it. So I'm my setups are still showing that. But
okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see. Don't have a whole lot for soybeans. We'll wait. We'll save that for potentially for tomorrow. We had a really nice. A couple of the guys took a really nice trade in cocoa. This is a market that most people aren't even thinking about. I won't go over it again right now, but it really had a nice move up, and we're watching this as well. I won't go into the details because I know most people don't even question cocoa. So, but cocoa has some nice moves. It moves very. If you had equivalent size moves in the S&P, even though the S&P's made huge moves, but if you had the equivalent size that cocoa does on a per day basis, the S&P would be moving 30 and 40 points a day. So this market really does move. We've been watching it for a while. We're using caution with it, but we are making some calls on it. So, and other than that, other than the fact of some of the bigger stuff that we've talked about, Dwayne, the copper market for the bottom that we're looking for, natural gas, you know, we're in the long side of natural gas in the institutional stuff. Other than that, I think those are the main markets that we've wanted to talk about today, unless there's any questions about anything that we've covered.
Guys, got any questions? Let's see. There's a question. Do we have anything on the Aussie dollar? Let's take a look.
Yeah. Bottom in March. The same thing that we've been talking about for quite some time.
Yeah.
A little bit of history.
Right there. See, this looks more like what I would like to have seen when we were looking at gold. This tail just way out here below the whole rest of the market. I really like that.
Yeah, that's the bonds, though, right?
This is the Aussie dollar.
Oh.
On a daily chart. Now, this is March, so let me put up June and see what that looks like.
That sure looks like the bond market to me, Dwayne.
No. No, it says right up here, 6AH3.
Okay.
So I'm just going to switch it over to... There we go. This is the June Aussie dollar. It's currently trading at 101.87. Is that correct? Is that what you have?
Let me go grab mine real quick and get over there. It's way down in the charts for me, so hold on here.
Oh, somebody said your screen is showing the bond, so yeah, it froze.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, okay. That was the bond chart.
Hang on. Let me just fix that.
Yeah, the Aussie dollar is in a whole different position. But your point, I think everybody gets the point you're making. The Aussie dollar is pulling back from the daily reflective wave.
Now the Aussie dollar is up. But it's still, that's what I was talking about, is this long tail on that little doji down there.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're pulling back. Aussie dollar is pulling back from the March 7th reflected wave top, which occurred one day early on the 6th. They're still reacting off of it. We think there's a March bottom in this market. Longer term, we have been forecasting.
We're having an up day, right? We're at 101.87.
Right now in the March.
I'm in June. I thought the current was all rolled forward.
It is. I think that we have not updated our charts yet for June.
Okay.
And I think the June is the right place to be.
Okay.
So.
Because we're up substantially today. We got a big green candle.
Yeah. So we're at 101.87. That is correct. And so the market is in a position to, having completed this longer-term target, we had this 101.64 something on the downside that was originally, we thought, was due in December, but then we decided, okay, well, December, it's going to begin to move down to that level, and that's what happened. It did trend over 2 months down to the 101.60 and change, and the fact is we think there's a big, important March bottom here. So we're going to trade this up. This is something we talk about in the room as well, in the institutional stuff. You may want to listen to this if you want to take a free trial of it just for a little bit. I mean, just listen in. It's just for you to just see what goes on, how these other people, which are just ordinary people like you and I, but they have a different set of problems than we do. They're trying to move size. They're trying to anticipate some things that are related to problems that are related to size. And other issues that come up as well. The way you'll hear how they like to set their trades up, or other things come up. So maybe if you have an interest in that, you can call us and listen to that for a week or so and see if that's something that's interesting to you. Other than that, I think that's everything that we have right now on all the markets that we've been talking about. So far today on the S&P, we've gotten as high as 149.75. I think they're going to go try the 53 at the 55 level, at least 53, almost right away. I think that's what the market's trying to do here on the upside. And so that's our main outlook between today and tomorrow for Messenger Pro, for our product. Our main outlook is they're going to go try to do that on the upside. So if they're able to, that'll be a very interesting point. The Dow is moving higher. It's pulling these other indexes, and the markets want to go higher. So careful shorting the S&P. It can work well when you get it right, but I think the better bets, the easier trades are going to be on the long side. So why make it harder on yourself?
There you go.
So, yeah.
No reason why. Let's see. Any buying opportunity, natural gas or copper?
Well, the natural gas, for those of you who were in the trial, you knew about what we had talked about with natural gas and what to do with it and when to get in, and we're substantially higher than we were at that point. But natural gas has a potential for a much, much larger move. Now, having said that, and this is really just a thing for more or less for the people that have reflected wave, have been to the course and so on, but natural gas had put in a reflected wave bottom. Let me get it up here real quick. A while back on the weekly chart, the week of February 11th, and we had forecast that the market would bottom on the week of February 11th, and it did. And this leads us to the market having had this big rally, which could go substantially further than this. I can't give out all the numbers. But I will tell you that currently the next top is due on the week of March 18th. That's actually interesting because it's the week of our seminar, the week of March, March 16th and 17th is our seminar out here. So that's the next weekly top. And so, I can't give you a specific place to enter it right here and now. We're in the process of movement on the, obviously on the upside here. But this movement, if you take a look at a weekly chart, shows you how big these moves are and how important it might be to have some part of your strategy to be in taking advantage of the bigger setup. There's nothing wrong with the day trades and all the stuff that we all do, but sometimes these big moves come along and you have a real opportunity to really zip up, you know, a nice number of points. You like that? Zip them up. Just put them in your little bag. And the market wants to make these moves. The market doesn't care whether you're in it or not. It looks like it cares. It looks like it's messing with you, doesn't it? Then have you ever thought about that? It's like, boy, they know I'm here.
Yep.
They're messing with me. It sure feels that way. But in reality, I don't think the market cares or knows that you're in it. And if the market has it in it to move and make these big moves, you know, that could be one of the sources for your – that's sort of a way of taking advantage of some of these movements, these bigger movements. So I'm a real fan of that. And you have to use larger stops. There's more – initial static risk involved, but there's also potentially more gain involved. So that tied in with, you know, I try to hit everything. We try to hit it all. You know, I want to get option income. I want to have some of the futures trades, you know, both intraday and longer term. And I also want to take advantage of these much, much bigger moves that sometimes require you to be in the market for quite some time. And believe me that no matter how often you've done it, it can be a little unnerving to be in the market for that long of a time. But you do get used to it, and you kind of get conditioned in not to make a big deal out of it, but in the same way, in some ways, that an athlete gets conditioned to taking, you know, having to run and being able to have his cardio up or being able to take a punch and all that stuff. You kind of condition yourself. And that idea is not original with me. That's actually something that Michael X., I spoke to just recently, and we're going to try to set something up, Dwayne, with him. But something that he had said many years ago to me, and he wasn't describing it philosophically, he was talking about himself, and he said, I'm conditioned to take this heat, you know, because if you're in the market, you're gonna have to go through that on a day-to-day basis. It's not like you take heat today and now you get a break for a week. Sometimes you have to take some heat every day. And so he said, I'm conditioned to do this. He wasn't bragging. He was talking factually that I've been through this so many times that it's conditioned. Right. And I had never really thought of it that way. I'd never really thought of, you know, what we all do. It doesn't matter what kind of methodology you're using. What we're all doing is a form of it's a skill, and it kind of could be considered like an athletic skill where you're conditioning yourself to be able to psychologically withstand things, do the right things under pressure, and so on. And so that's where that idea came from, and that struck me when he said that. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's really good. You know, you do get conditioned. You can practice this and get conditioned to doing the right thing, to taking some of the heat when necessary, not making the wrong mistake when you know, something happens, even when something good happens. Because remember the guy that used to be in the Beatles that quit, the drummer? They had an original four people, and one of the guys, there was a little heated thing that went on, and he just crumpled under it, and he quit the band just before they became the biggest pop sensation the world's ever seen. And yeah, I forgot. I wouldn't remember his name. But there was before Ringo Starr. There was a drummer.
Talking about Pete Best.
Maybe. Is that what it says, or is that who?
From memory, I think that was his name.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what his name was, but
it was
had a little pressure on him. He wasn't conditioned for it, and he dropped out of the band. And Ringo Starr came in. And I like Ringo Starr because he sang that silly submarine song. We all live in a yellow submarine. All right,
It was silly. It was. They made a movie out of it. It was so silly.
They did. They did make a movie out of it. It was really silly. Anyway, so with this, there's an act of conditioning in this. There's a practice. There's a thing. And doing the right thing often means holding on to winning positions. You know, isn't it funny that if you look at this, how people fall into the habit of doing everything opposite? You're holding on to losing positions, and you're cutting your winning positions short because you're so anxious to make sure you get the little win that you got. So you're picking up breadcrumbs on one side and losing large amounts on the other.
Yep.
And a lot of times it requires somebody like a coach or somebody outside of you to point out to you, hey, there's no way you could ever get ahead doing that. That method will not mathematically work for you at all. But sometimes we need somebody else to come in and say, that's actually what you're doing. You might not have noticed it, but you're never going to be able to get ahead with that. And so that can be very helpful to show somebody else what you're doing. And, I've talked about, you talking either to a broker or perhaps talking to a person like Robin Dane, a trading coach. You know, she's a pretty little kick behind, the term word I'm trying to use. She's a kick little girl. You know, she goes out there and she does a lot of things that men wouldn't necessarily want to submit themselves to. And, she's been through the hard and the soft and the loud and the quiet, and she may just be the right person for you to talk to and double check what you're doing, because she's been around the block with that. I started out in the beginning not certain about what her skill set was, but I'm quite certain now that she has it and she can deliver it. So, and remember, the delivery isn't that she's necessarily going to give you a blinding flash of inspiration. A lot of the inspiration you're going to get is just hearing yourself describe what you're doing, because you may never have heard yourself describe what you're doing. And that alone is valuable, especially if you're describing it to somebody who you can't pull one over her head. She's been around the block. She knows all the tricks. So if you're going to describe what you're doing, plain old honesty, self-honesty, just tell her what it is and let her work with you if you have the interest in doing that. It can be very, very useful, and everybody can use this. I love talking about trading. I love being honest about it because it helps me. What good does it do me if we say, well, we're in a position that we're not in, or that we've made something that we didn't make? What good is that? It doesn't do any good at all. What we really want to do is just learn to be straight shooters with ourselves, first of all, and then it's very easy to be straight shooter with somebody else. One of the things I noticed about Michael X, the fellow that we hope to have on the radio again here, is that he never talks about his winners. Whenever I talk to him, he only tells me about his losing trades. I never hear him talk about what he gained. Now, if I ask him, if I say, Michael, did you come out ahead today? How'd you do today? Because, it's a whole thing that's going on over there with all the contracts and everything. Then he'll say, yeah, I'm up a little bit, So, or whatever the number is, for him. But he really focuses on the downside. This is kind of how he operates. And you're not going to hear a lot of that, the bragging and stuff out of him. And over time, you get past that, hopefully, anyway. But I'm just mentioning that if you have these, any kind of issues, or you want to have somebody review your strategy, not that a Robin Dane or a somebody else is going to, Bert Schlichter is going to necessarily tell you to fix it this way or that way, but I'm telling you, there's some value in talking out what you're doing to somebody who knows what they're doing. There's some real value there.
I really appreciate that, David. And
well, I think it's true. I mean, I'm glad to be able to say it.
Am I going to have to buy sushi next time?
No, here's what I'm glad. I'm glad I don't have to say this.
I'm only kidding.
No, don't bother Robin. She's not really up to, if you want to call her, that's fine. No, she's funny. You might laugh or something. No, I'm glad you have the chops. I'm glad you got this.
I have heard many, many, many different scenarios. I keep thinking that I've heard them all, but every day that I talk to a trader, I get very surprised that there is another one. So I do not have the assumption that I have heard everything. And I will tell you this, that if something does come up that I have not tackled before, I will go until I can make sure it's okay. And there are many, many times that many times over the 20 years that I've ran into a challenge with somebody, and I will go until I can figure out something with you that will work. So if one technique doesn't work, I'll give you something else. Another technique doesn't work, I'll give you something else. And I will literally lose sleep until I can find something that will work for that trader.
Yeah.
And so I do go until. And when I'm in that situation, I'm not charging that person, because I feel that my skill set is not there for that particular incident. But I haven't had that for quite a long time now. But I can't say that I'm never going to run into something that I have you know, never heard before, because I get surprised all the time. But I usually have a way of managing it and giving you some suggestions on how to approach things. Now, the thing that happens is when I give a client a new approach, it'll be up to them on how they translate that technique, how they implement that technique, and then the results they get from that technique. Now, a lot of times I'll have people that get lazy, and I'll give them a good technique, and they will, "Oh, it didn't work." "Well, what'd you do?" "Well, I only did it for 2 days." I said, "Well, you can't do it for 2 days. You got to work it." So you have to be ready to coach and ready to work, and I am ready to be there with you to work through anything that happens, no matter what. And there, you know, and they can run the gamut of, you know, things that have nothing to do with trading. And so, you know, the nice thing about having a female coach, and, you know, for both, for men and women, is that, you know, on the male side, I can give you a female perspective if it has to do with something from a daughter or a wife or, you know, a significant other or family members. And so I give you a different perspective, where if it was a guy, you might not be as open to talk to somebody, and they might not be able to give you the perspective that I can give you. So from a female perspective, it is a little different. And I find that the men, I've always worked in a male environment on any team, no matter where I was. Even in the corporation, I was always on totally male-dominated teams. And I grew up with six boys on the block, so I guess that's why I feel comfortable around men and why I enjoy it, is that I understand them. And I've always been one of the guys. You know, I always was on the baseball team or wanted to join the Boy Scouts when they weren't let me join with my brother. So, I've always been in that kind of environment, and I always enjoyed it, and, you know, it was very competitive. Yet I was a classical dancer, and, you know, I have a strong female side of me as well, and I understand what women go through. So I give a unique perspective from beginning to end, and believe that your trading encompasses more than just your trading. You know, it's how your how is your health? How is your, you know, your mental attitude? You know, you know, are you angry all the time? Are you just angry with me? You know, are you being acting angry just with me? Or are you just angry all the time? I've had one guy says, I said, you know, how long have you had this anger thing going on? And he goes, "Oh my gosh, it's ruining my marriage." And I said, "Well, let's get rid of that thing. That's affecting everything." So, you know, you'll have things that you've done over your life that unfortunately have become ingrained habits that you think you may not be able to get rid of, but you can. You know, there's always a way to turn something around, and you are in control, but we don't get instruction on how to do these kind of things.
So how does somebody get in contact with you, Robin? What are they going to do?
All they got to do is either send me an email as the rdcoach22@yahoo.com, or they can call me directly, 702-616-3744. They can go to the website, robindane.com. There's a lot of free information. But I'm very happy to talk to people who are considering coaching, but they don't know if they want to do it, or they're not sure how to start or whatever. I'm very happy to guide you and just see what's going on. If you're dealing with a strong block, I'm going to tell you you need to get coaching. If your cash is limited, then we can work something out, or I'll guide you to a smaller package that can give you some good information that will begin to help you and then get you over some big hurdles and then see where you go from there. And then, you know, then we wait and see, and we measure it as we go. But I'm with you the whole way as you join your coaching program. But it's up to you to work it. I give you the information, but you have to work it. So that's the best way to do it.
Well, listen, it's a little bit frightening for me. I mean, if I was thinking about calling in, my first question would be, like, do I have to go out on these Red Rock retreats and, you know, go out in the middle of the desert with you in order to get the coaching?
No, all you have to do is buy me sushi.
Oh, okay. So just as long as there's just a purchase involved, there's no – okay, well, that's a whole lot easier than going out into the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Hey guys, no, we numbers,
although I may encourage you to do a race car thing. I did see those little go-karts. I may encourage you to go with me to do a go-kart race.
There you go.
Well, you know, my thing with car – oh, I'm sorry. Dwayne, go ahead.
No,
what were you saying?
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It does sound like fun.
You guys be sure and take some pictures so we can post them on the blog.
Yeah. I'm not really into racing on a track and all this stuff. All I want to do is pull up in a car that doesn't look like it has much oomph and pull up to a guy in a Camaro, preferably somebody perhaps, you know, who, you know, thinks he's, you know, really hot, and then just kind of zip away from him right from the stoplight. And since the electric cars make no noise, when his car revs up, the police look up, they give him the ticket. So that's, it, I mean, it works out well for me, is what I'm saying. So, I think you see where I'm going with this. I think I may need some coaching. Doesn't it sound like that? Maybe I have some problems. I'm working out in traffic.
Oh, there
maybe
you
that's
go.
Where my that's how I'm working out my problems. I work them out in traffic. No, I'm very, very sane, ordinary driver. Just occasionally, if the guy revs his engines next to me, you know, what am I going to do? Let him zip off and go down the road?
No. Yeah.
I'm gonna depress that accelerator with all the verve I have.
I tell you, that was the thing I was worried about, leaving the track at the right time yesterday. I'm almost glad that it happened because I was so afraid of that road rage with, you know, traffic as it was and guys, people been drinking. You know, they're very fussy at NASCAR. We have to do a special alcohol test there. And they had three people that got fined for serving people who were drunk. You're not allowed to serve them. And we have to take special tests before you serve alcohol. And, you know, it's up to us to protect people from, you know, getting overly done. But, and we did. We watched very well. I mean, the team worked really well. But yeah, I was really afraid of that road rage after that race. And I didn't want to sit there in traffic
for 3 hours. Lot of money. They spent an awful lot of money to watch people make left-hand turns.
They sure do. Oh, my gosh. And the noise is deafening. I mean, we were so far up, high up, and it was deafening at the top. I can't even imagine it down in the bottom. They had these huge, huge headsets on. I mean, the noise is just deafening when those cars go by. But the speed is phenomenal. And the spoilers on the front of those cars look like they're touching the ground. They can't be more than an inch off the ground. They look so close to the ground. They're amazing, amazing vehicles, the speed with which these things go. And I love the fact that that woman is racing. I just think that's fabulous. She was terrific. Well, she had an accident, so she was out after I forget which lap, but she was out in the race early. Uh-huh. So, but I have a quote.
All righty.
And I have a quote from Napoleon Hill. And I just found a friend of mine sent me a link, and you can actually get a Napoleon Hill quote every day, which is fabulous. And this is, change your mental attitude and the world will change. The world around you will change accordingly. Your world will become what you choose to make it. You can reach giant heights of success, or you can settle for a miserable life that is devoid of hope. The choice is yours. When you choose a positive course, you set in motion an unstoppable force that will allow you to have a fulfilling career, the love of your family and friends, good physical and mental health, and all of the other true riches of life. To change the world, you must change it from inside out. You must become, you must begin within yourself. When you choose the course that puts your life in a positive track, you will change your life for the better, and you will also have a positive influence on those people with whom you come in contact with.
There you are.
Nice.
Napoleon Hill.
Well said.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, guys, we're hovering here at 1549, which is the top of this little weekly trading zone, 4849. Got a little tail sticking up on the last hour, so we'll watch that high, and if that high gets taken out, then we'll look for potentially the next zone on the way up. If we get rejected here, then we'll look for this trend line first, and then below that, we'll look for the weekly trading zone below. David, thank you so much for everything.
Thank
Robin,
you, Duane, for having
really
me on. Everybody as well.
You back, Robin. We missed you last week, and we'll look
yes,
forward
I
to
missed you too.
Having you here this week, and we'll get back on track with the Coach's Corner on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. As soon as you have a topic put together, let me know what it is,
yep.
And I'll put it out.
And did you check the Zynga today? Zynga's up 37 cents or 10% today. I just want to let you know we hit 394.
Wow.
I picked it up from 3:30, so I'm happy camper.
That's nice, Robin.
And so we're watching it because of the casino stuff. We'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Have a great day, David. Thank you so much for your comments today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Duane, too. Robin, thank you for having me.
Robin, what's the symbol again?
ZNGA.
ZNGA. Let's have a look at it.
Zebra Nancy Gold Alpha.
Alrighty. Yeah. Nice update.
Yeah, nice update.
We're above the 200-day moving average now on the daily chart, so we've got a big smiley face there with the 50.
Yeah.
And got above that 200. And now is this an all-time high for this stock?
No. It's like 12-something. That's
why
they
got
really
way higher. This stock is coming down from like $16.
52-week range, 1448.
Here's a weekly chart, so here's the all-time high over here. Now on a weekly, see, we're just getting ready to bump in to that 50-period moving average.
$5. We're gonna see that what happens at $5.
Yeah. Okay.
That's that magic number. That $5 thing where people start jumping in.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that is a key psychological number, and a lot of brokerage houses can start to recommend a stock once it hits $5. So, yeah, you could see some – what kind of volume is there on that thing? Wow. Whoa, look at this. $300
million? Wow.
Now, today there's only 60 – there's only – let's see, 6 million, no, 613,185. Is that right? No. See, here's the 100 million marker here.
I've got volume is 63 million.
That's
63 million 90,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
63 million 900.
That's right.
Today.
Yeah.
And the average volume is 31 million.
Yeah, we've had some days where it spiked up. Let's see.
That's a three-month average, 31 million.
I'm looking at weekly. This is weekly, not daily. Okay, that's what threw me off. Let's go back to daily.
Yeah.
Daily update. Okay, here we go. All right, it's still, I mean, look at that. You're right, yeah.
Yep, we're up there. So, this is not a suggestion. I don't make a recommendation. This is just something I happen to be looking at. I look for stocks that are under $5, that have got some news, that have got some oomph behind it. I live in Vegas. I think online is going to be the next wave. And I miss the Netflix, so I'm kind of trying to get in earlier.
Bob Z in the chat room says he's been a stock car racer for 28 years. Wow.
No way.
That's what he says.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
On like a local track, Bob, or did you actually, were you in NASCAR? Or?
Well, stock car says stock car.
That's what NASCAR is, stock car.
Is it stock?
Called stock car racing.
Yeah. Fabulous.
None of those cars are stock. I mean, you just take one look at it.
Don't look anything like my car. That's great. That's great, Bob.
All right, guys. Thank you both so much, and I will see you both back here again tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the listeners as well. See you guys tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was.
Guys, that's going to do it. S&P's up 3.5 points. Dow's up 38. Gold's up $2.40 on the session. Crude oil down 35 cents a barrel. Price here has spent an hour. We're now in the second hour, but the second hour is just beginning. Right here at this weekly zone, 48.49. Had a pretty brisk move up over 2 hours from 44 to 48. Well, 2 hours to cover 4 points, that's not too much to get excited about. But we did find some resistance at 48.49. Now, the question is, will we move up? Because one of two things will happen, and this is how it always plays out. This never changes. Now that we have hit this zone, 48.49, we will either continue the advance up to the next weekly trading zone, or we'll reverse out of here and go to the trading zone back below. There are very few absolutes in trading. This happens to be an absolute. I absolutely guarantee you that as long as the markets continue to trade, from here, price is either going to the next highest zone or it's going to the next lower zone where we've already been today. So, you know, given that, okay, since you're dealing with an industry where there are very few absolutes, when you come across an absolute, what can you do with that? What are your options? How can that translate into revenue? Well, you got to figure out how you're going to trade it. Okay? What's going to put you into the trade? If we take this, do you have the percentage of reversals versus continuations at the zones? No, Keith, it depends on, well, they reverse more than they continue. I can tell you that. I don't know the exact percentage, but they reverse more than they continue. Now, the reversal, what you'll see, the thing you're going to see is typically you'll see consolidation, be it for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Sometimes we see 8, 10, 12 hours of consolidation at a zone before it finally advances. Now, you know, given that long period of consolidation, let me back off of you see a reversal more often, because sometimes we get a market that will climb, it'll consolidate for 7, 8 hours, and then it will continue the advance. You know, you could just go over charts on the blog if you wanted to go through and try to figure out a percentage. But I would, but no matter what the percentage was, I wouldn't want to trade just the percentage. I would want to trade each individual setup in some sort of unique fashion. Like here, because we've already tested these upper limits, if we were to now come back down and in this next hour we were to close below 48, at that point I would be interested in being short back down to the next zone. However, you got to take into consideration this little trend line here, because we connected the bottom of 3 hourly candles. We're in a bull market, making new highs every day. We didn't look at the daily chart today. Let's go over here. See? Getting short in this market right now is probably, you're probably better served to wait until you have something to put you into a long trade. Now, this chart shows where we gapped into the new year. Okay, this big green candle here was December 31st of 2012. Then we were closed for New Year's Day. Then we reopened, the markets reopened, on January 2nd. So we gapped into the new year, and we hit the top of this price channel, which had been building since November. Okay. We gapped to the top of the channel. Now, we were at the top of the channel on December 18th. By December 28th, 10 days later, we were at the bottom of the price channel. And then just 2 days later, we were back. Daily chart, is there a reason you didn't roll over? Oh, you know what? No, there's no reason at all, Iris. In fact, thank you for mentioning that. I just had not thought about it. So let me do that. Okay. So now we're looking at the... Wait, that shouldn't have thrown off all my stuff just rolling forward. Okay, there we go. Now, get everything back in perspective. Okay, thanks for reminding me to roll that forward. Okay. So we gapped into the new year. Now, because we're looking at the June contract, you can see that that gap didn't take us, when we were looking at March, it had taken us right up to the trend line. But now looking at the June contract, we still came off the bottom. And we got, see how we just walked up the top of this price channel? I haven't even extended this part out. I suppose I could. Let me do that. There we go. All right. So we traded back to basically the middle of the channel. This channel is 70 points wide. This is the halfway mark, 35 points. So we got back to the halfway mark. And once you get to the halfway mark, you typically will expect to, once you go beyond the halfway mark, you expect to go to the bottom of the channel. But in this very bullish market, we flipped around and took us right back up to the top of the channel. We closed on March 5th on top of the channel. So now this will be 5 days that we're on top of this channel. We've not been able to break away from this trend line. I mean, although the entire year so far, with the exception of this couple days here, this is the only correction we've had of any significance this year, and you'll notice this gap that was created. Someone brought that up in the, I think it was in the partners meeting Thursday night. They said, well, you know, we've probably come back and close that gap. We probably will at some point. You know, I mean, there are unfilled gaps in the market. The biggest percentage of the time, you will see a gap filled. This one, it may be a while. Okay. Because this thing looks like it just wants to... Remember now, the Dow has taken out its all-time high. We've put in new all-time highs in the Dow. Still not in the S&P yet. That has to happen. I wrote about that, you know, rather extensively over the weekend on the blog. And I talked about the bullish case for us to continue to move higher, and the bearish case, okay, there's, you know, a good argument on both sides of the street. You can go here, and you can, you know, come up with your own opinion, but what I would caution you, now, this part about calling BERT, if you have a big 401k or big retirement account that you want to protect against the downside, you should call him and get some advice. All right, talk to him about that. As far as trading intraday, this whole bullish bearish scenario, it doesn't really affect you that much. Okay? Why not? Well, because if the market is moving up, we'll look to be long to the tune of a couple points. If it's moving down, we'll look to be short to the tune of a couple points. Let's see. Bob says, look at the volume. Okay, volume, we had 1.3 million on 1.5 million, was it? Yeah, 1.4 million on Friday. Today, we only have half that, and we're certainly at the halfway point of the day, or better, 762,000 contracts. So a very, very light volume. And this chart that I have on the blog, I think it's two posts down right here. Okay, this is the S&P cash market, not the futures, the cash market. Price up here, volume down here. Okay. Now, a triple top in and of itself is a bearish reversal pattern. A triple top with declining volume is like, wow, it's sort of like some kind of trifecta thing where odds makers would, you know, it would be 3-to-1 or 10-to-1 or whatever the odds might be, that based on that volume profile right there, this thing is going to go lower. Can the market stay irrational longer than we can stay solvent? Yes, it can. And it often does. So one might look at this and go, well, given the evidence, then I'm just going to get short and ride it out because based on this, it has to go down. Well, that's the thing, is it, you know, it probably will, but it doesn't have to do anything. And it certainly doesn't have to do it within your time frame. So be very careful. Intraday, whatever happens in the big picture, the worst that happens is it creates volatility so that we have a better go of it in the live trading room. In October, we had 22.45 per contract. November, 31.09. December, 43.22. January, 40.47. And in February, we're over 3,900 per contract. There's 112 trades taken in the live trading room over the course of the month of February. If you figure a high commission rate of $8 per round trip. Now, if you're trading with Bert and Leslie at Daniel's Trading, now, let me just say this. When you open an account with them and you trade with them, we don't make any of that money. We don't get like a, you know, a kickback on your commissions or something. We don't get a percent. That's not, there's no arrangement like that. So we don't encourage you to use them because it lines our pockets. No, we encourage you to use them because they're the best brokers we know in the business. Okay? They know more about the market than anyone else I know. They work harder than anyone else I know. And they're available more than anyone else I know. When you call that office during normal business hours and afterwards, they answer the phone. If you've got a problem, you've got a question, you need some help, you need a trade set up or a shoulder to cry on, guess what? They're there. They're happy to talk to you. And you're thinking, yeah, well, I'd love to call them, but I don't have an account with them. Well, you know what? Call them anyway. 866-928-3310. Give them an opportunity to earn your business. Well, how do I do that? Call them and talk to them. Maybe they can point out a couple of trade opportunities. You know, they'll do whatever they can to earn your business. They'll work hard to earn your business. They'll work even harder to keep your business. Now, it's been said by brokers before that I can't spend too much time with any one person because, you know, 90% of them are going to blow up and be gone in a year. Hey, that's broker speak. I got news for you. Bert and Leslie don't think that way. They're going to do everything in their power possible to help you be around 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They want to grow old with you. They build their business the old-fashioned way by taking care of business, and that means taking care of you. So, aside from how talented they are and nice they are, they also have incredible technology via the DT Pro platform, which works very well. The data flows from all the futures markets and the Forex market and the currency futures, okay? And you'll pay less than $8 per round term, significantly less. The reason we use this figure when we show this chart, the reason we round up to $8 is a worst-case scenario, and we actually know some people who are with other brokers that actually do pay that much. Okay, and if you're paying that much, I just got to say you're paying too much. Okay, there's no reason to pay that kind of money for a round trip. So, for February, our results were $3,900 per contract in the live trading room on 112 trades, a high commission rate of $8 per round term. You still netted out $3,000 per contract in 2 hours per day. Now, that's what Michael did. I can't say for sure that you would have done that. I would hope that because you weren't asking questions, weren't having to answer questions, and you were able to focus on one market instead of eight, you might actually have done a little better. Okay, but there's no guarantee of success. Past performance does not guarantee future success. You know all the stuff, the disclaimers. And those disclaimers are there not, well, they're there, one, because it's the law, but number two, because it's just right that you understand. Okay? Trading's not easy. Okay? It's not for everybody. If it were easy, everybody would do it. And if it were easy and everybody did it, then none of us could do it because there'd be no market. Right? So you just have to figure out how you're going to put yourself into that 5% and not the 95%. Or the 10%, not the 90%. Whichever set of figures that you subscribe to. Okay? You got to have an edge. That's what being a partner is all about. You got to have top-of-the-line technology and a great broker. That's what Burton Leslie and Daniel's Trading is all about. Okay? You pull those two things together, but then you also have to bring to the table stuff you can't buy anywhere. Discipline, you can't buy that. Focus, attention, hard work, you have to bring those, you can't buy those from anybody, anywhere. In fact, without those things, somebody can tell you the perfect high and the perfect low of the market every day, and it still would not translate into a positive equity curve unless you have those other things. Well, how do I get those things? Well, if you don't already have them, then you got to figure out how to get them. Okay, and that's why we want you to stay in the simulator until you're consistently profitable. You trade in the simulator until you're consistently profitable. Once you're consistently profitable, and I prefer to see that to be about 30 days, then you go live with one contract. Not three, not five, not ten. And I know the argument, well, trading 1 10, same thing. It's you know, because the market's so big and it's so liquid, the market doesn't care if I trade 1 or 10. You're right, the market doesn't. But your brain, you know, if you could see one of those x-rays or one of those brain scans, this is your brain on one contract, this is your brain on 10 contracts. Yeah, big difference, okay? The emotions and all the other stuff that comes along with that, it doesn't matter how big your account is or how deep your pockets are, you need to start with one contract. You go, well, yeah, but my pockets are so deep, it's not going to hurt me. Well, maybe not financially, but it will psychologically. And if your pockets aren't deep, it will hurt you both financially and psychologically. So please, do yourself a favor. Whether you're trading with us or Burton Leslie or whoever it is, you know, when you go live with one contract. Trade one contract until you've earned $1,000, and then go to two. Earn another $1,000, then go to three. See, you're increasing the number of contracts with money you actually earn in the market. That's a smart, slow. Now, it sounds like a slow way to build your business, but you know what? Those numbers start to compound pretty quickly. By the time you hit three contracts, it doesn't take very many days, a couple, three, before you're able to add yet another contract. Pretty soon you're at a point where just getting 2 points a day, you're able to add a contract a day. You got to decide, are you going to stop at 10? Are you? Where's your comfort zone? Where are you comfortable? Now, again, this is where Burt and Leslie come into play. You can talk to them. You can talk to them with privacy. They're licensed professionals. You can let them know how much money you're working with, what you've got put away, how much risk capital you're dealing with. They can help you formulate a plan so that you don't get in over your head, so that you don't blow up your account. See, as long as you're trading with a hard stop and trading a proper number of contracts based on your account size and experience, there's no reason for you to ever worry about blowing up your account. That's just one of the things you can take off the worry plate, all right? And even though that makes perfectly good sense, there are people today who will not follow that advice. They will do the exact opposite. They'll do something different. And tomorrow they'll go, man, why did I do that? I don't know. But every day is a new day, and today is the day that if you did it Friday, or maybe you did it today, you don't have to do it again tomorrow. put the wheels back on the bus, and you can do it right. And the good news is you got people standing by, ready to help you, willing to help you. Come take the free trial. Okay? If you've already taken the free trial, and when you go to sign up, it says, no, you've already taken the free trial, maybe you need a second chance. Maybe the first time around, you had to go to the dentist, or you just weren't paying attention like you should have, or you pay attention, but you failed to download the platform and install the indicator, so you never really got an opportunity to put on and take off trades using the simulator. All right, send me an email to support@cfrn.net. support@cfrn.net. Tell me what happened. I'll hook you up with a second free trial. But this time, you got to commit to downloading the platform, installing the indicators, because otherwise, you're not going to truly appreciate and recognize the opportunity that's knocking on your door. I mean, it is right here, right now. Opportunity is extending forth its hand and saying, hey, now, is becoming a CFRN partner right for everyone? No, it's not. But you have to be able to determine whether or not it's right for you. And the only way I know to do that is to take the free trial. Spend 5 days watching us trade, putting on and taking it. See, you've got that simulator and the live chart so that when the live trading room closes after 2 hours in the morning and the radio show's over, well, these markets, they're trading around the clock. You now have an opportunity to look at different markets and put on and take off trades so that at the end of 5 days, you can make a well-informed decision as to whether or not this is right for you, okay? We only want you to become a partner if it's a good fit for you. There's no, just like with shoes, you know, how do you know if they fit? Well, you got to put them on. Got to walk around a little bit, okay? So, all right, here we sit up really close to the high of the day at 1548.75. We just ticked over to 49. Let's go back to the hourly chart. I'm going to leave you with the hourly chart. Okay, see that wick that's starting to develop here on this second candle? Remember, the market looked like it was going to run away to the upside, but that's changed. That's why we always talk about waiting, and you'll hear this in the live trading room when we're using a very quick four-tick range chart. You'll hear Michael talk about waiting for the candle to close before you make that next decision. See, right here, we had a bullish cross, pull away, we had a pull back, we actually had bullish divergence. So based on the four-tick range setup, there was actually a little long trade right here. Wait, that's not even the ES. What is that? Oh, I was showing you the natural gas chart. Okay, so there was a nice little trade on the natural gas here, but that's not what I wanted to show you. Let's go to the S&P. There we go. Okay, the ES, that thing triggered way back here. Okay, so now it's pulling back again. And what do we got for divergence? We don't have bullish divergence here. Okay. Oh, wait, we do. Yeah, but it's starting to hook down. So see, now, take a look at this. This is on the four-tick range. This is where we trade in the mornings in the live trading room. This is the setup. Okay. Put a little trend line on here across those tops. But go back to that hourly. Oh, that's for March. Let's go to June. Here's June. See how we put in a higher high on that candle? Now, we've still got 26 minutes left in this hourly candle. But if we close below this weekly trading zone, this is going to be a bearish engulfing pattern. and that is bearish. And I said earlier, you know, I caution you about short trades because the market, that's how we even got onto this daily chart, because we have such a bullish market going on. That said, there is, you know, what looks like a potential for a short trade to set up. I would wait for this hourly candle to close. If you're going to trade it short, watch where this candle closes, and then know that if you do get short, you've got to clear this trend line. If you can clear this trend line, I can say that there's enough room to run to the next weekly zone on the downside. There's room to run to make it worth your effort. Question is, depending upon where this closes, how much room do you have before you hit your initial resistance? And you see, with each ensuing hour, when the next hourly candle opens, it's going to put you a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. Until, if we were to just consolidate in the zone for a while, pretty soon you'd just be sitting on top of this trend line. So I'll leave this chart up because I've talked about it enough that you can watch it, you can see what develops. See the cycle now on an hourly, that's blue and heading up. Okay. So over here, blue and heading up. See that nice move up? Now look at this swing back down. Red and headed down. Okay. All we did was make a sideways move here. We did not put in a new low on this move down. See on this cycle down, we didn't put in a new low. So that again tells me we've got a bullish market on our hands. So if you're going to be short, proceed with caution. Perhaps you wait it out until the market presents you with a long opportunity. It's really up to you. It's a personal preference. And if you're trading by the four tick range setup that we use in the live trading room, then you just take the setup as it comes down the pike. All right, let me look and see if there's any final questions. February APT equals more than 34. Hey, Jonathan, I'm not sure what that means. Tell me, I see what you typed in, but I'm missing that. February APT equals more than 34. Oh, average per trade. Oh, okay. February average per trade, more than $34 is a back tester. This is really good for short-term clipping. Nice. Well, thank you. Abby says, I dreamt I blew up my account and I don't want to trade today. Well, as long as you've got hard stops in place, then you shouldn't worry about that. Okay? I mean, if something doesn't feel right and you don't think you should be in the market today, then you should follow your instincts. But just as a general rule, as part of your business plan, your trading plan, you want to, and I wrote about this in the blog. If you haven't read the blog this weekend, go read it. I talked about, you know, being able to put your emotions out of the picture. When you're running a business, you have to park your emotions at the door. Many smart, intuitive, forward-thinking, innovative traders get their heads handed to them time and again because they can't control their emotions. They can do advanced calculus, chew gum, and yo-yo at the same time, but oh boy, let them be wrong on their first trade of the day, and somebody has to pull their head out of the sheetrock. That's you. Get the right and wrong mentality out of your head before it destroys your business. In order to do that, you need an edge that you can depend on, one that is tried and true. If you need an edge that can bear the light of day, you should take our free trial. If you've already taken it, you still have drywall dust in your hair, take it again. So, support at CFRN.net in the subject line, second chance. Give me a sentence, paragraph at the most, of what happened on the first trial. and then tell me, hey, look, this time I really will download the platform and install the indicators because I really do want to, you know, take a good look at this and determine if this is right for me. The reason we want you to make that commitment is because if you come back for a second look, we're going to think you really are serious, and so we're going to invest some additional time and energy in you. And, okay, I don't want you to feel obligated, but the time we spend with you is time that we take away from someone else, okay? So it's not about being fair to me. It's about being fair to other people who are on the free trial because we only have so many hours in a day. Between myself and Michael and Bert and Leslie, there's only so many hours and so many people. So, you know, if you're serious, then, man, we do want to help you. We really do. So you type me that little sentence that says, hey, this time I'm taking it serious. I'm downloading the platform, and I really want some help. You will have our full attention. I guarantee it. All right? See how important it is to wait for the candle to close? Now, we've already got a lower low. So if this thing closes red, it's going to be a bearish engulfing pattern. Even if it closes, if it closed right now, that would still be bearish. But the fact that it's green kind of steals its thunder. So, but if this candle closes red at this point, you got a bearish engulfing pattern, you should expect some lower prices. Okay? How much lower? Well, you got the trend line. If you're a partner, you got the weekly zone. But let's draw a fib up here. Everybody's got fib tools on their platform. A 38% retracement would be 15.46 1/4. And that would be close to this trend line. A 50% retracement would be 15.45 1/4. Okay. See that? So these are areas where you could expect the market to retrace to. 38, 50, 62. If you're going to get a red candle here, then you could expect the market to play into this circle. And then if the bulls are going to stay in charge, we'll get a reversal somewhere in this circle, and we'll head back up. Now, that might be a very good trade there, is once this thing comes down, hits the circle, and starts back up, now you're able to get into that long trade that we were talking about. The only caveat there is you've got this zone overhead, 48.49, which if that were to play out, then you'll know that you're running into potential resistance. Okay, but if you're able to get in down here at, say, 45 or, you know, even 44, even 40, let's go with 45. All right, you're able to get in at 45, you get a four-tick range set up, everything's good to go at 45. Well, your resistance is up here at 48, so that's 3 points of room to run. You can take 1 point off early, all right, get your 2 points, and you still got another, you got a point of cushion built in from 47 up to 48. Start thinking about it like that, okay? All right, I really am done. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.